about. You gotta put it in perspective.
That sound means it's time to drop da bomb. And yes, folks, I said duh, not the. Basically, what I'm trying to say is it's a positive bomb.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Where you at?
Well, you know, things have changed. I mean, if you get on a podcast network, podcasts can lead to a book deal, which can lead to a basic cable holding deal, which can lead to Hulu, which leads to Amazon, which leads to a Golden Globe speech where you're thanking the trans community.
I like all of those things.
Except Amazon. They gave Woody Allen a show and they wouldn't take my humidifier back.
The pink fruit
mouth. I have a question. Have you ever talked before?
And now.
Coming up, Kanye West claims to hate Thin Mints. You can bet we'll get into this further in the next hour. This is the only thing I care about now.
Our feature presentation.
What was the answer to that?
Well, I don't know, but why did it sound like Keith Olbermann?
It was Keith Olbermann.
Because it was Keith Olbermann.
Was it? Yeah, why is that the only thing he cares about?
I think he's probably being facetious, but...
Because Kanye West hates Thin Mints. Come on, that's late-breaking news these days.
Apologies.
That's the kind of headline that goes everywhere now. Because we care about important stuff in this world now.
He's crazy. Mm. He's going to lose his entire career over this.
Right?
Can't come out against Thin Mints. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 29th of September.
I'm getting a lot of emails, by the way, and tweets and texts and posts asking where the hell Halloween Spooks is.
Yeah.
Asking where the hell Two Eyeballs is.
Right. Mm.
Still September.
It's still September. Yeah.
It's a good reminder.
I'm full-time Christmas guy. You know that. But when it comes to Halloween, I have a very strict October policy. I just want you guys to know.
It's good news.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, it's full-on Halloween time.
Oh,
stores are out. Oh, yeah. The decorations, everything.
Yeah. Am I wrong? Should we reconsider that? I feel like October is early enough for the Two Eyeballs and the Halloween Spooks. But what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, you're lumping those two songs together. Two Eyeballs all year long.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Halloween Spooks has to be, and I'm not just saying October, I'm saying the 31st.
Nope. No.
The 31st only.
You have been on record as not being a fan of the Spooks.
Right.
But Two Eyeballs, that's year-round for you?
Oh, I would listen to that all day, every day, yeah.
Okay. Before we get into talking about today's all-new Kevin Beach show, we do have a good one. I want to do a segment one of these days where everybody on this show, we go around, we talk to everybody about what their greatest disappointment is about Kevin. I think that would be a lot of fun. Like, how has Kevin disappointed you the most with the way he lives his life?
Like Thanksgiving, how you go around the table?
Exactly. Except instead of blessings, we'll be talking about curses, right?
Oh, no, we do this.
And so that'd be fun. Let's write that down. That'd be a good segment. Don't you think there, Kevin?
Yeah, let me make a note.
And I want to start by – I'll go first and go ahead and get it going here today by saying the most disappointing – I've known Kevin for a long, long time now. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, years before this show, I knew Kevin. My greatest disappointment about Kevin is that he never followed through on his plans to get a monkey. And I really feel like that was a missed opportunity. I think that would have been so much fun for everybody if you'd had a monkey. Because there were times where you really, like, were obsessed with getting a monkey.
Yeah, I still need a monkey.
But you never did it.
Well, that's the problem. I've got the bean disease, which is I like the idea of, but I'm not going to actually do anything.
Follow through is
right,
the problem.
Follow through,
right. Well, this made me just...
Is there a monkey available for me?
There's a monkey in the news right now that made me realize how awesome monkeys are. It, of course, comes out of Florida.
Sure.
Where a man had to call 911 to talk to the Sanford Police Department saying that there was a monkey who was sitting on top of a neighbor's mailbox and was eating its mail. The monkey was just reaching into the mailbox and just chopping down its mail.
How is that anything but awesome?
Right? That's what I'm
so
saying.
Great.
Public Information Officer Shannon Cordley told CBS News from the Sanford Police Department, our officers are ready for anything. Luckily, someone was in the neighborhood, happened to see the monkey, recognized the situation was not normal. So the police show up along with members of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission because they don't know whether the monkey's going to be aggressive or what the situation is. It turns out the monkey was fine. The monkey is a pet, by the way, that lives in the neighborhood. Officials used a patrol car to block off the road, and they shook a water bottle in an attempt to lure the monkey away from the busy street. Which, by the way, again, this is the kind of fun you could be having right now if you had a monkey.
I'm so jealous.
The tactic worked, but it also led the monkey to jump on top of the patrol car, where he started pulling molding off the side of the car.
Even better.
Later, the monkey's owner, who did have a proper permit to own the animal, joined officers in the wild chase before too much damage was done. Within about 20 minutes, the owner was able to coax the monkey, identified as Zeke, back into his arms.
Zeke! It's a great monkey name.
Our officers responded to some pretty serious, some sad, horrific calls, the spokesperson said, but it's nice to be able to respond to something of this nature, a little more lighthearted, that has a happy ending. A female lieutenant even took a photo with the monkey after he was caught, and the police department posted about the incident on their Facebook saying, it's a nice story to read as you're starting off your week. So there you go. Monkey, by the way, did not get charged with vandalism of the patrol car, did not get charged with stealing mail, no animal mischief charges. Tampering with mail is a felony in this country, as you know.
What's animal mischief?
Oh, you know.
So throwing things. So there you go. Yeah, no poop thrown as far as I can tell in this story. So there you go. So the mail-eating monkey is in the news today, and that could be you, man.
Look, here's the thing. I feel like if I had a monkey, that the monkey and I would both end up in jail. Pretty quickly. I'm not sure why.
Probably a solid assumption right there.
The gut feeling.
Yeah.
But imagine how much more exciting and unpredictable and thrilling your life would be every day if you had that wild card of a monkey.
I need a monkey.
You just would like never know where the day was going to go. Let's talk to listeners who have monkeys.
Call right now.
I love that idea. Let's do that today.
Okay.
We had something else planned. But I would like to talk to people who have monkeys and say,
do you think we can find people who have monkeys or have had monkeys?
I'm thinking not, because monkeys are not pets. Let me just record right now.
I know they're not pets, but that doesn't mean people don't have them.
Well, I didn't say Kevin should treat it like a pet, as a co-equal in Kevin's case.
Sure. No. Okay, I apologize.
Not a pet.
I missed
it.
It
would be ridiculous.
A roommate.
I would be the monkey's pet. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DiBiccio, shall we?
That's going to be your reaction? Say something good.
Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes this past weekend.
Yeah, he was.
And 60 Minutes was just, they were out of line, people. They asked for specifics.
What? You can't ask a guy who's running for president for specifics.
The guy said, how would you make that happen? What kind of nonsense journalism is that?
Agenda. That is
what
crazy.
About the Constitution was another question.
Although I did enjoy, it seems like both political parties hate you. Yeah. They say hate or dislike? I forgot exactly what he said.
I think so.
I love it.
I agree with that, yeah.
I know you've seen the video of this Boston man that sees a sunfish that's injured. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
You really are.
I may have to play it more than once today because I'm obsessed. I can't stop talking about it.
We'll talk about it at the time, but I couldn't listen to it one time all the way through because it's so annoying.
Yeah, I can see that. I think we like it and hate it for the same reasons.
But you're witnessing something you never seen before, bro.
Yeah, man.
How could
that
you
accent.
Not keep watching that?
Is that Boston?
Yeah. He's from Malden, Massachusetts. But
he's a way masshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that accent. That's a terrible one.
Yeah, it's not good.
And I love it.
Me too.
The Pope has a new album, Good Times. We are going to talk to Bobby Slayton, comedian Bobby Slayton, the hardest working man in show business. And we have, what else do we have? Hold on.
Well,
hold, please. Time out.
People have monkeys.
Wait, Kevin's reading. Right
people with monkeys.
Oh, okay.
And Bean's thoughts on Cuba.
I have Cuba feelings.
Bean has Cuba feelings.
I do.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
We got flies all over the place. No. Son of a bitch.
Bitch.
Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got three flies. Five flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
I love Winnebago Man so much.
I do too.
God damn it. Accoutrement? What the hell am I talking about?
It's the best. For good times. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. Kevin DiBiccio, what's going on, man?
And to reward you all for making it to Tuesday, let me give you something right out of the gate. K-Rock is having its annual Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo Casino on October the 9th.
Yay!
Here's the thing. It's a very fun tournament. I've been involved before where you play blackjack, but it's tournament style. And so they get a big winner, and it's a lot of fun. It's happening at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Friday, October the 9th. And you can enter for nothing. If you just go to their Morongo and sign up, you can go have a good time. Winners must be 21 years of age or older. But also, folks from the K-Rock Morning Show will be playing as well. Yesterday we gave away a seat at Beer Mug's table. Dave the King of Mexico is going to be playing. Kevin will be playing. And our own Allie McKay will be playing as well.
And good times.
She doesn't know how to play blackjack, so I think you want to be at her table, because I think good times will ensue.
You just have to add it to 21.
That's right. Yes, you do. You're so adorable.
Thank you.
There's going to be a lot of yelling coming from that table.
Don't do that!
What are you doing?
Why are you hitting on 20?
I have to get to 21.
If you'd like to sit at Allie's table and enjoy the chaos.
I would.
No, you can't, Kevin. Aww, you're going to have your own table.
Come on.
But Allie's table is going to be a good time. Why don't you call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 9.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We do not have a winner. I don't believe you. October the 9th is going to be the date, so caller number 9 will get a seat at Allie McKay's table for the Good Times Blackjack Tournament at Morongo Casino and Spa.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times indeed.
Yeah.
Not good times for Hollywood. Sad times for Hollywood.
What happened?
Katherine Coulson, who was best known for playing the Log Lady on Twin Peaks, has passed away.
She loved that log.
Oh, the log would talk to her,
she
Kevin.
She loved that log.
She would get information from the log. The log says, "All things are not as they appear," she would tell Agent Cooper.
That's why we love that show. It's just complete nonsense.
David Lynch, creator and director from Twin Peaks, said she had a great sense of humor. I'm sorry. She had a great sense of humor. She loved to laugh and make people laugh. She was a spiritual person, a longtime TM meditator. She was the Log Lady. She also worked with Lynch on his movie Eraserhead before being cast in Twin Peaks. Boy, David Lynch loves that TM, doesn't he? That transcendental meditation.
He sure does. Yeah. I don't know. Is that his thing now?
Oh, yeah? It's been his thing for a long, long time.
You still do the weather on a daily basis?
No, sadly.
Stop that.
Huh. I miss the daily David Lynch weather report. Here in Los Angeles today, it's 70 degrees and slightly cloudy.
Maybe he gave up because of Frankie. Maybe he's like, that guy's
rules. Oh, there you go.
That guy rules.
That would be a battle royal. Put those two in a cage and have them just tell us the weather together. Frankie versus David.
It's very sad about Katherine Coulson, Ralph, and especially because they're making new Twin Peaks, and it would have been fun to see her reprise that role again.
It sure would.
I think other actors could carry around a log, though.
How?
Oh, I'm saying
it.
You want the original people to come back if you can, Kevin?
You don't recast a classic role like that.
What's wrong with you?
It's the same log, though, guys, so that's cool. No?
Son of a bitch.
Kevin, God damn it.
And another show business death. Eric Rohner from MTV's Nitro Circus passed away. After a skydiving stunt went horribly wrong in Lake Tahoe, California. He was up at Squaw Valley. The ski resort, and he was part of an opening act for a golf tournament yesterday, and the skydiving stunt went wrong. He died hitting a tree on the way down.
Ooh.
38 years old, survived by a wife and two children. That's a hell of a thing right there.
Awful. He was part of Travis Pastrano's Nitro Circus family.
Yep.
Very sad. I'd only said MTV's Nitro Circus at the beginning. Then we all would have known. Here's the thing. You got a wife and two kids. Don't do stunts, the skydiving stunts.
I would think, though, skydiving would fall into the realm of it's 99% safe. You know what I mean? Like, so many people do it. It's not that risky, I would think.
Aren't you the guy who saw a guy plummet to his death skydiving?
I saw that when I was a kid, yes. But since then, I mean...
Since then, no one's ever been hurt.
I haven't seen anyone else die.
Skydiving.
Friend of the family plummeted to his death. So
lots of people
die
skydiving,
Kevin. There are two.
Lots of people.
Right.
You know what happens when you fall from a high distance towards Earth? Bad things can happen.
Splat. Yeah. Splat happens.
You know what rarely happens? You rarely hit the Earth and die when you walk on it, I found.
Hmm. Okay.
But that's just me.
Point taken.
What do I know? Today's celebrity birthdays are not here, I want to say.
Just make up some names,
right? Okay. Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
80 years
birthday.
Old today.
80.
Jiminy Cricket, the famous cricket from Pinocchio.
Oh, I love him.
He's 107.
Wow.
Jimmy Boo Boo. Honey Boo Boo's cousin.
Jimmy Boo Boo.
These were just handed to me. Actor Ian McShane, who was brilliant on Showtime's Ray Donovan this season, is 73 years old today. He looks good for 73. Just do not kiss him, or you're likely to get a poker upside the head. That's all I know.
It's a good tip.
By the way, just as an aside,
yeah.
Allie McKay,
yeah.
regarding Ray Donovan.
I went back and watched it again.
Yeah. I know you did. But you were so wrong about Bunchy's yeah. wife. So wrong. Oh. You're so wrong about Bunchy's wife. You're so wrong.
No, and I'll tell you why. It's not going to be Bunchy's. Even he was questioning the timing.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
He was shooting live bullets.
Well, that's what she said. Teresa, I don't trust you.
Primus singer Les Claypool is 52 years old today. Our buddy Zachary Levi celebrates his 35th birthday. And Twitch! Kevin, your boy Twitch!
Twitch.
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 That's what I said. Twitch.
Twitch.
Stephen Twitch Boss from So You Think You Can Dance. He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Donald Trump, shall we?
Hear me?
Yeah, sorry, hello? I didn't have you. Pardon.
Try again. Talking, and then all of a sudden you started talking. What happened?
Try it again. Try.
All the beat show and throughout the day on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets for you for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Congratulations to our latest winner, Jeff Smith from Saugus. He is going to be enjoying the Walking Dead maze, the Hollywood maze, Alien, The Purge, all sorts of great stuff. Ride the Terror Tram, the whole deal. Your chance to win is coming up. Are we cool? Is everything cool?
We're cool.
Okay.
I'm not sure we're cool, but. All right. Bean told me that Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes, so I watched it. And Donald Trump is magic.
Yeah.
He's really magic. And I think, Bean, your impression was that he and his supporters were all basically on Twitter just retweeting anything that says it was unfair.
That's right.
Hey, he was sort of mean to Donald Trump. That wasn't cool.
That's exactly what his supporters were saying, and Donald Trump was retweeting all of those. Because Donald Trump has been able to get away with, even though he's on TV a lot doing interviews, nobody really presses him for details. They let him get away with saying things like, I'm going to make America great again, and nobody's going to pay any taxes, yet I'm going to have all the money in the world to pay for a military and pay for the infrastructure and everything like that. But I knew when he went on 60 Minutes that they weren't going to allow that, because they're a little more hard-nosed than that. And I think that's what Donald Trump ran up against when he sat down with Scott Pelley Sunday night.
The first thing that Scott Pelley says, I love, because he says to Donald Trump,
you are a hurricane of words.
You're a hurricane of words. And then he goes on.
But the policies sound a little bit like magic. You're going to cut taxes. Some Americans are going to pay no tax. We're going to reinvest in our infrastructure, trillions of dollars, and we're going to manage the debt.
All right. So he's setting up what Bean just said, which is, okay, how are you going to do any of this?
Right.
By the way, we have Donald on the line. Do we want to go to him now or?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Are you kidding? Is there a chance to talk to the next president of the United States? And by the way, I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I'm still voting for the man. I'm just enjoying the campaign so far. Hi, President Trump. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Dane. How are you?
What did you think of your interview on 60 Minutes? You said that you would be, if it was a fair interview, you would have no complaints. Do you think it was fair?
No, once again, the so-called journalists,
mm-hmm.
are attacking me because they're afraid of the fact that I have the ear of America, and that's mm-hmm. what they want to have. But I have it because Americans want to win,
right.
and I'm going to make them win again.
Right.
We're going to win.
Right.
We're going to be winning so much
that
right.
you're
tired of winning.
Your butt will bleed.
Oh.
that much
that
winning.
I don't want to win that much.
Well, I'm sorry. That's just a natural byproduct of winning.
All right, so but Scott Pelley
to pay for victory.
So Scott Pelley goes on and starts talking about the taxes, because you're saying you're going to tax some people, but for the most people, their taxes are going to be lowered. Here's his question.
Who are you going to raise taxes on?
If you look at actual raise, some very wealthy are going to be raised. Some people that are getting unfair deductions are going to be raised. But overall, it's going to be a tremendous incentive to grow the economy. And we're going to take in the same or more money. And I think we're going to have something that's going to be spectacular.
All right. Now, what does that mean?
It's going to be spectacular.
Right.
You don't know the word spectacular?
Well, I do know that word. I'm just
saying.
That's
what it's going to be.
I'm just saying it's pretty general. You're just saying we'll raise some taxes, we'll lower some taxes.
Right. So some taxes are going to be higher.
Right.
Other taxes, in my opinion, will be lower.
Okay.
And that will be spectacular.
But have you done the math? Is that going to work out and put you in the plus column?
Yes, I've done the math, and one will be higher, the other one will be lower, so it'll be zero. One minus one is zero.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
see how he does it? It's like voodoo. Donald Trump just says it, and we go, okay.
Now,
it's
at some point,
voodoo. It's not voodoo. Sit down. Sit down. You don't know about voodoo.
All right. Now, at some point,
go back to voodoo vision.
At some point, you do start talking more about taxes. You say you might raise them on the ultra rich, but the middle class basically is going to get a tax break.
You say you're going to lower taxes on the middle class. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about numbers that will be announced over the next 2 days for the middle class.
Do you know what the numbers are?
I know them right now.
Well, why don't you tell me?
Why wouldn't you tell him? You know the numbers.
Scott Pelley does not understand a surprise party. When you have a surprise party, you don't tell the person that's coming to be celebrated, oh, by the way, we're going to be giving you a party, and it's going to be spectacular. You wait for them to get to the party, and that's when the streamers come out. And the punch bowl is filled. And I'm not filling the punch bowl until I'm ready to serve it and put some ice cubes in it and then a little ball of sherbet to float around.
See, he makes a lot of sense.
Very specific.
I don't understand.
I love sherbet.
All right. All right, so basically now he's going to try and wrap things up and just say, as president, let's be honest, when you become president, you have a lot of things working against you that you can't exactly just overrun.
You know, the problem with a lot of these ideas is that the president of the United States is not the CEO of America.
That's right.
The Constitution is going to tell you no. The Congress is going to tell you no.
We'll
the Supreme
see.
Court is going to tell you no.
Well, we'll see.
And you're not used to working in an environment like that.
I do it all the time.
You do it all the time.
I do it all the time.
So the Constitution and Congress and all the laws, stuff like that?
We'll see.
Okay, what does that mean?
If laws still exist, then I will pay attention to them.
What do you mean if laws still exist?
You don't know. You don't know what could happen.
Well, I know that the laws aren't all going to be overturned.
Oh, so you have a crystal ball. So now you're looking in the future. That must be a wonderful talent to have. But I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be like when I'm president.
Well,
we
laws
might have flying cars.
Laws won't cease to exist.
Maybe they will. Maybe they won't.
But you still have to follow the Constitution as the president.
Perhaps. Maybe. We'll see.
What does
that
mean?
But I'm telling you, yes, you do.
I'm saying you don't know the future. Are you from the future? Are you Doc Brown? Do you have a DeLorean? Right?
That's spectacular. I can honestly say no, I do not.
Right. Sit down. Sit down. Go back to future vision.
Am I on?
Yep.
Okay. He is the pit bull of comedy. Our friend Bobby Slayton joins us on the program later on today. Plus, we want to talk to you if you have a monkey. And I know, Ralph, you're excited about that. That's coming up.
I got to go.
Speaking of Ralph, I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because, you know, Kevin was on vacation last week. And we always try to bring the person who's out, the person who's missed a week, we bring them up to speed with what went on the show.
Yes.
So that they, you know, have some context for going forward.
And I got to be honest. I didn't care what went on while I was gone, but...
Until you got back and heard that I had feelings about Cuba.
That's because you missed out on Bean's passionate international perspective
really.
On the island of Cuba. I didn't realize what an expert he was on Cuba.
How did this come up?
Well,
celebrity traveling
I believe
there,
someone went there for
their honeymoon.
Okay. Yeah. Some celebrity couple got married and went to Cuba for their honeymoon.
Okay.
I think it may... I wish I could remember.
Well, we have the tape. We have the tape. So this was at the end of the show on Thursday, I want to say.
Yeah.
So and Ralph brought up the showbiz, and that got us into the conversation of Cuba in general and how it's changing as a result of, you know, its new relationship with the United States.
So the fact that this couple went to Cuba, I was of a perspective of this new interaction that America is having with Cuba can only be good for Cuba.
Okay.
And, you know, this is an economy that basically has been paralyzed.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that,
since
too.
The end of the 50s and pretty much caught in a time warp, just in stasis. The fact that the lack of influx of any sort of fresh money into their economy has been really stagnating for them. So I thought it was sort of universally held that this would be a good thing. I didn't realize Bean's unique perspective on the international situation regarding Cuba, and it was fascinating to me.
All right, here's the tape from last week.
People can go to Cuba now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more about the vacation industry taking over and probably ruining the island of Cuba.
Okay, now that took me off guard right away, that somehow tourism money, the influx of tourism money to Cuba was going to ruin that already. Now
ruin
I'm on my
really,
heels.
Really poor country.
I came out in the first round, bang, just pegged me right in the button, and I'm on my heels, and I'm covering up, and I'm in the corner of the ring, and I just don't know what happened.
Ruining?
Probably.
They're going to ruin all those rusting out 1950s cars that are laying by the roadside and all the poverty and unhappiness.
Look, I'm just saying that all of that overwhelming amount of change of place that is a closed off ecosystem for decades and all of a sudden it's thrown open to the world. I'm sure there are going to be some negative repercussions to the country.
Okay, no, wait a minute. Bean, I didn't realize that, but Bean had the inside scoop. Apparently there has been a dome over Cuba for
some time. You
haven't
seen that TV show?
No. I really didn't know that Under the Dome was actually based
on
Cuba.
Yeah.
And apparently it's been closed off from the world.
For decades.
It's like Brigadoon. It just disappears into the mist, and then no one has seen it again.
Bean is not exactly an optimist.
Now, here's the thing. I thought the rest of the world was free to travel back and forth from Cuba.
Right.
It was only an embargo in American travel into Cuba.
Right.
I didn't realize no one in the world can go to Cuba, and they haven't seen another human being in 50 years.
Wow, that's news to me, too.
Shocking.
Wow.
Negative repercussions versus ruining it are two different extremes.
Well, I'm just saying, if nothing else, the influx of all those people is going to
bring money and jobs.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah.
I had no idea you were such a Cubophile.
I am.
You have an extensive history. Do you visit often? Are you familiar with the ecosystem there in Cuba?
I'm just saying.
Where did this passion for old-timey Cuba come from? what was this on your list of enthusiasms?
Look, what I'm saying is...
How can it be anything but good for them to get an influx of hard, cold American cash?
Well, for starters, they'll probably be exposed to tons of new diseases, for example, that they haven't had to worry about in the past.
Okay, time out. Yes, hotbed of viruses and diseases. America is going to bring all of those viruses and diseases under the dome into Cuba and start infecting people, and they'll probably become zombies, I'm guessing.
Look, once you're under the dome, if you get sick, it's on.
But here's the thing. People from all over the world have been going to Cuba back and forth. It's not, we're not bringing smallpox.
You don't know, man.
I do know that.
All right, here's some more.
Because they haven't had people traveling from around the world who are bringing the Ebola and bringing the AIDS and bringing the monkeypox and bringing the bird flu and bringing all the other stuff that they haven't had to worry about. Now all of a sudden they're going to have all these foreigners.
Giving them a bunch of blankets with smallpox on them. They're part of the world, you know.
They haven't been part of the world. That's my whole point.
Now, America hasn't been traveling to Cuba, but people from many other nations have been back and forth for generations.
I'm just saying
they don't live in a bubble. It's not under the dome.
We're going to screw
Canadians
up
could go
fear.
There. Europeans could go there. A lot of people went there.
Well, none of those people have diseases like we do.
That's right.
We're dirty people.
Americans are filthy.
I'm just saying.
You're a madman. You are a madman.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
You sound insane. Right now, you're a lunatic.
Wow. My head's going to explode.
I think we should ease into the visiting, is what I'm saying.
This isn't an infectious disease ward. We don't have to go in hazmat suits and collect all the monkeys.
I think we should be stepping lightly, is what I'm saying.
Based on what?
Based on just feelings. Just feelings.
Based on Cuba feelings. This is the craziest conversation I've ever had with Bean, and I've been here a long time around a lot of crazy.
Look,
Cuba feelings.
That's a good point.
I'm concerned about.
Just
you're
having some pizza and
learning
about Cuba. That's
your
all.
Mind.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
I am just saying, first of all, and I stand by every word of it.
Based on feelings.
Wow.
I stand by it.
And how do you ease into it? It's like maybe one tourist for the first week.
And then maybe you send his family over, the rest of his family can enjoy it.
Well, not the kids, though, yet.
No, they got the diseases. That's how that spread the diseases.
You don't want to overwhelm Cuba.
Just based on feelings. You're like the Donald Trump of the morning radio.
Well, I hope to be his Secretary of State when he's elected.
I hope so, too.
Just saying, I think it would be sweet. That's all. It would be very sweet.
I don't know.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is 6:54. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday. Hey, quick reminder, Imagine Dragons, one of our favorite live bands, are back in the building at the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space at 3 o'clock this afternoon. They will be performing live. Imagine Dragons live at 3. Do not miss it. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something very controversial.
Okay.
But I am against cancer. I'm sorry, that's just how I feel about it.
I've never heard anyone say that.
And if you have a problem with that, you can take it up with me anytime, any place, because I'm not moving off this position.
That is Ralph at KRock.com. A lot of people cannot tell who's speaking on the show. That is not the position of the Kevin Bean Show. That's just Ralph going rogue.
No, this is just me, my feelings. Nothing to do with CBS Radio or the Kevin Bean Show. But I do not like cancer, and I wish for its eradication.
Wow.
So there.
Why are you saying that out loud, man? You have some sort of death wish?
Well, there's a story in the news I thought was touching and terrific, and I wanted to talk about it. It involves a radio station up in San Francisco called KFOG, K-F-O-G, if you're familiar with that station or not.
The letters spell something. I love that. That's a legendary album rock station in the Bay Area. Been around for a long time.
And they've got a DJ there named Mike No Name Nelson.
Okay.
Which is just false. His name's Mike Nelson. It's right there. Mike No Name Nelson. He's just, he has a name, obviously. It's Mike Nelson.
So he's a liar.
Who are they kidding? So his wife is battling breast cancer, and they have an 8-year-old son. And their 8-year-old son decided that he was going to try to do something to help his mom. And he had a song in his head. And he's 8 years old. And the song in his head that the words kept playing over and over again is boob, spelled backwards is boob.
It's a song I would write today.
That's true, if you could. I don't think
if
you,
I could write a song.
I don't think you would know what boob spells backwards is. So he wrote on a CD-shaped piece of paper, boob, spelled backwards is boob, and he put it in the CD player and tried to play it because he had this song in his head and he wanted to see what it would sound like.
He was eight. He didn't realize.
He didn't understand how CDs work, and he just shoved it in the CD player and tried to play it.
All right.
Obviously, that did not work. That now that's something Kevin would do. He's tried to write words on a CD-shaped piece of paper and see if it would play. So, numlock. So here's what they did at KFOG. They took that title and they asked the 8-year-old to write the lyrics for the song in his head.
Okay.
And then they took the lyrics and they found someone to compose some music for it, towards it. And they decided they were going to try to get the song to musical artists that would help them by singing on it and create sort of a Do They Know It's Christmas, We Are the World type anthem to raise money for breast cancer to sell this song.
I like it.
So KFOG and the other people who worked at the station, like Irish Greg and a couple other DJs, started approaching artists to participate on this single, and it started to snowball. So the project is finished. It has been released. It will be released on October 1st to start raising money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Here's the lineup that they got. Florence and the Machine.
Wow.
Noel Gallagher.
What? Wow.
Hozier. Vance Joy. Wow. Spandau Ballet.
Dude.
Graham Nash from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. The Grateful Dead. L. King. I mean, the list is like 50 names on this list of people they got to participate. So I wanted to play a little taste of it. Here, first of all, is the 8-year-old's name. I want to see. I can't find his name anywhere. Anyway, I think he introduces himself. This is the intro to the single, real quickly.
Hello, my name is Archer, and I'm here to tell you that 1 in 8 women have breast cancer in the world. Unfortunately, my mom was one of them. I did a lot of things to help out. I even wrote this song.
So he wrote this song, and now here's a little taste of this celebrity charity single called Boob, spelled backwards, is Boob.
I got to be honest, I didn't hear anything about Boob.
Kevin.
Boob spelled backwards is Boob. Boob spelled backwards is Boob. Boob spelled backwards is Boob. It's Boob.
Better than anything Taylor Swift has ever written.
How
that song.
Dare you?
If you would like to contribute some money to this very worthy cause, and if you want to check out the video, they got video of everybody singing in it. It's Florence and Hozier and Vance Joy, and they're playing instruments. And Noel Gallagher, cranky old Noel Gallagher, even picked up his guitar and lended his voice. It is crazy, but it's an awesome video. It's star-filled,
And, of course, Archer Nelson, of course, is the creator of that song. He's on there at the beginning. You can go to KFOG.com, KFOG.com/boobproject. And you can get all the information. And while you're there, why don't you donate towards a very worthy cause, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So just wanted to give them a shout-out. Rarely talk about other radio stations, but they're doing something so great that
that's pretty cool.
It was worthwhile. Hey, zombie fans, you will love the fact that there's yet another spinoff from Walking Dead that you can watch. There's a lot of zombies walking around.
Yeah.
It's a 16-part web series being put together as an added-on feature for the upcoming season of the remainder of the season of Fear the Walking Dead. The web series is called Fear the Walking Dead Flight 462. And it will air the same time as Fear the Walking Dead's season on AMC. And it's about a group of passengers aboard a commercial airliner, and the outbreak begins with one infected passenger threatening everyone on board.
You don't want zombies on a plane.
No.
You don't want that.
Remember, that's what Samuel L. Jackson said.
I think it was snakes.
Get these mother effing zombies off
that's
my
right.
mother effing plane.
He said snakes.
Look for the first episode of the web series to debut on AMC.com on Sunday, October the 4th, which coincidentally is Fear the Walking Dead's season one finale. So you can you get your fix. You won't be without zombies for too long, I promise.
And then I think The Walking Dead comes back the 9th. Right?
Yeah, the next
10th, 11th, whatever date that is. 19th.
Well done.
If I name them all, I'll be right. Yep.
Sometime in October. Mm-hmm. Sometime soon. Today's celebrity birthdays, Twitch. Stephen Twitch Boss from So You Think You Can Dance is 33.
Zachary, we had him on not long ago. What a nice young man.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Zachary Levi is 35 years old today. We've had him on a bunch.
What a nice young man.
Les Claypool, Primus singer, is 52.
Dick.
Oh, come on.
Primus sucked.
And actor Ian McShane. So good. His whole entire career. And I guess Americans first took notice of him in Deadwood, I want to say. Probably that's where he got his first big boost.
Okay.
But he's always been great, and he was so great this past season on Ray Donovan, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We want to talk to you if you own a monkey or know someone who does or did. Coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on KROQ. We're not letting monkeys go, Ellie. Don't scoff at us.
I just
it's going to be fun.
I need a monkey.
First, though, we can all agree that people in Boston should be forced to leave the United States and never come back, right?
No.
I think
they're the worst people. I mean, it's generally understood that Boston is America's a-hole, and there's a reason why, and it's the way they talk. It's the goddamn accent that we are forced to endure every time somebody from Boston gets on the TV. Allie, you got a lot of this in your family, right?
I do. I come from a long line of proud Bostonians.
You mean massholes?
Sure.
How were you able to escape the accent?
Well, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. My parents moved here in the late 60s.
Do your parents have it?
They certainly do.
They do.
And I grew up hearing it. All my aunts and uncles, everyone, they have it. And I could mock it because I know that you don't put an R at the end of the word idea. And I know car, you keep that R, you don't drop it.
What's the problem with R's?
I don't know.
Is it just the R?
Like a typical sentence that my mother would say as a kid. I just said mother.
You did.
Wow. That my mother would say as a kid, she'd say, all right, best idea, hop in the car, we're getting a pizza. Like, Ma, you screwed up three words in one sentence. It's a sickness.
Well, it's a terrible, terrible accent, and people from Boston are terrible, terrible people.
But Kevin insists on revisiting
The Man Who Saw the Sunfish. Now, we talked about this very briefly last week because we put it in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, and you can see the video there at kevinbean.kabrickwork.com. And I could barely get through it one time, Kevin. Why are you making us listen to this guy
again? Because it's the best thing I've ever heard, Bean. How can you not be fascinated by this guy? He's looking at a sunfish. Okay, so you don't know what it is. All right. What? How much of a conversation is that? 30 seconds?
Nope.
Right.
This guy goes on for what seems like 10 hours.
It does seem like 10 hours. That's my point is don't put us through this again.
Oh, no. I edited it down, so it's not that long. But I would like you to notice that there, as far as I can tell, there are only two people on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy is
Jay and Mike, right?
Yes. And Jay, his name gets mentioned, I don't know, a million times.
Yeah.
Do you guys have friends like that call you your name? Allie, you want to go get some pizza, Allie? I mean, does that?
No.
That's weird, right?
No.
And as you point out, Kevin, there's no one else on the boat. So if Mike is talking, he's talking to Jay. He doesn't need to specify Jay.
So they see a fish. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what fish it is. They think it might be dead. It might be sick. It might be. They don't know. So this is the beginning.
I don't know what this is, but Jay says it's a big sea turtle.
Look, it's a baby whale.
It's a baby whale, man. Holy, we are witnessing a baby whale right here, dude. Holy, that thing looks hurt, Jay. Jay, that thing is hurt, bro. Holy, look at this thing. Oh my God, what the is that, bro? Jay, what the is that? Oh man, pull back up, Jay. Come on, bro. Pull back up, bro.
All right, now, seriously, aren't you pretty much out of energy on that topic by now?
How? Yes. A, I'm out of energy if I'm Mike. B, if I'm Jay, I'm throwing Mike over the side of the boat. How can you listen to this guy?
Guys, come on. They're witnessing something they ain't never seen before. This is legendary.
I'm going to start doing this every time he mentions his name because it's fascinating.
We're seeing we ain't never seen before, kid. Oh, my God. That thing looks dead, man. We gotta call the aquarium or something, dude.
All right, now here's my question. If you see a dead animal, you call the aquarium?
I don't think so.
Is that who you call?
I think that's just nature.
And it's a great point that over the course of this video, Mike, the guy who's talking, he thinks it's a whale, he thinks it's a tuna, he thinks it's a shark, he thinks it's hurt, he thinks it's dead. He has no idea what he's looking at, but it does not stop him from guessing.
Back and forth between it could be dead and maybe it needs help, or we should hook it and sell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Back
right,
and forth
right.
between those two, yeah.
Oh, man, look at this thing. Holy what the is that? Oh man, Jay, it's dead, bro, or something. Oh my God, Jay, pull right up next to that, Jay. Oh man, look at this thing. Oh man, look at that, Jay. Holy what the is that, kid? You want to try to pull it in? Let's hook it.
I'd never noticed until listening to it in earphones. They're listening to Biggie Smalls.
They are.
Well done, Mike and Jay.
I was going to identify that a little bit later because it comes through a little bit more loud. And I was like, what? If you had to guess the song they were listening to.
People.
They are the whitest guys in the world.
Come
like
on.
You wouldn't necessarily think Biggie. By the way, as an aside, Boston aside, what's your tolerance for people who can't get through a sentence without swearing? This is like watching Ray Donovan listening to this video.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Doesn't bother you?
Uh-uh. It's just, I think it's just the way people talk.
Yeah.
I mean, everything else about this guy bothers me, but not that.
Oh, man, that thing's just dead. What the hell is it?
It looks like a baby whale.
There's the biggie.
Because I dropped out of high school.
Let's pull up next to that, bro. Let's help it. Oh, man, we're calling the Coast Guard.
All right, now it's the Coast Guard.
Oh,
so first
Guard.
It was the
okay.
aquarium,
yeah.
right?
Call the Coast Guard.
Now they're calling the Coast Guard.
Sure.
Jay, stop. Here it is right here, Jay. Oh, man, look at this thing. Holy what is that thing? It needs help, whatever it is, dude. It's dying.
All right, so now it's dying, so now they need to help it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe give it, I don't know how to help it, take it to some authorities.
Right.
Oh, my God, Jay. Jay, look at this thing. Jay, let's get it.
Yeah, he's dying.
Oh, man. Jay, that is a... That's a tuna, bro. Look at that thing. Oh,
tuna.
My God.
All right, here's my favorite part. Here's my favorite part because, seriously, Jay's got to be tired of this by now.
Yeah.
If you're on the boat, don't you go, okay, look, you don't know what it is. Shut up. Maybe we'll even go take a closer look, but stop yelling about not knowing what it is.
Hey, Mike, let's play the quiet game.
Here's the sounder. Here's the sounder that you know this guy might kill him. And then they continue.
This is Michael Bergen and Jason Foster. We're about ready to pull this monstrous thing on this boat right here. Steve, I hope you're watching, buddy.
Now, why would Steve be watching? Are they periscoping? Okay, so if it's a video, then can't they show it to Steve and know that Steve is watching?
Steve might have tuned out by now.
But does Steve have a way of tuning in then?
No, he doesn't.
We don't know what the story is.
So why does this guy hope Steve is watching?
Maybe Steve was supposed to go with them that day on the boat and for whatever reason couldn't make it. And they're just saying, dude, you should be here right now. This is awesome. Maybe
I don't know. They're my heroes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Those guys are my heroes right there. Bean is just looking out for me. And I like that. That's what I like. Bean wants me to have a monkey. And I want a monkey.
It's been a while since we visited this topic, but you're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. The Pit Bull of Comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton, joins us at 8 o'clock. Right now, though, there are some doubters here at the Kevin and Bean Show who do not think that we are going to be able to find listeners who either own a monkey, have owned a monkey, or know someone who owned a monkey. But
or have ever heard of a monkey.
Let's make it wide, Bean. If you can spell monkey, we want you to call it.
We want to talk to people who have some experience with owning monkeys. For years, I've been trying to get Kevin to get a monkey. Now, this isn't something that I forced on him. Kevin is the one who started talking about how I got to get me a monkey.
I do need a monkey.
Because that's it looks true. Like it would be. Look, I love dogs. I love
Same.
Cats. I like lots
Don't
of
like
animals.
Cats.
But having a monkey seems like it'd be the most fun in the world because monkeys can do so many things. And by the way, Kevin, if you had a monkey as smart as they are, you could teach it to do half of your job.
Bean, if that monkey is half smart, I can't teach it anything.
I mean, you could say to a monkey, "Hey, go in the kitchen and bring me a beer." You could do that if you had a monkey, right? They're that smart and they're that dexterous. What?
Just saying.
I'm just saying
but
how awesome
if I had a monkey, the monkey would drink the beer before it got to me.
I'm just saying Probably. How awesome it would yeah. be to have a monkey. I just think there's so many cool things you could do with a monkey. It would just be so much fun. I mean, a monkey, if you had a monkey like sidekick, he would be like your little buddy. Imagine just jumping out into the car, having your monkey riding shotgun.
Like and BJ
just,
and the Bear, right?
Yes, like BJ and the Bear, a show no one's ever heard of. And you take him out and do all your errands. And
by the title that that's what he does with
BJ
the Bear.
BJ McKay and his best friend Bear.
Okay, great.
And he would wear like a little fedora.
I'm sorry.
You'd
I asked.
Be walking around okay. Target. Your monkey would be carrying all your packages. It would just be awesome. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a person who has a monkey, had a monkey, or knows someone who had a monkey. We started talking about it first thing this morning because of this story that came out of all places, Florida, about a 911 call where a neighbor called and said, "Hey, there's a monkey on the mailbox who's eating mail." And
by the way, stop right there. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I don't care what the mail is. That's awesome. You got a monkey sitting on your mailbox eating the mail.
So the police show up, and it turns out that it is a monkey who lives in the neighborhood. His name is Zeke, and he is his owner lives in that neighborhood. And they are able to – no one gets hurt. They're able to kind of talk the monkey down a little bit. The monkey does at one point jump on the police car and start pulling the pulling the trim off of the side of the car. But
you don't want to act with a monkey.
They didn't charge the monkey with anything, by the way. And the monkey was able to be corralled by the owner. They distracted him with a water bottle, and they were able to bring him back in. He was fine, and no charges were filed, and it's legal to have monkeys. And
I know you could let dogs out, and they'll go out maybe for the day, but they'll come back. Is that true with monkeys or no?
I don't believe so, because they're wild animals.
Right, but they'll love me so much.
You have not spent time with a capuchin monkey like I have.
Right.
Okay. What time,
you have. Not
what
great.
Time have you spent with a monkey?
I did segments with I don't want to name this monkey.
Okay.
But
it's a famous monkey.
It is a famous monkey. This monkey, he rides a border collie in rodeos, and he wears chaps and a hat.
Right.
And
that's the best monkey ever.
It's a great monkey.
Right.
But if you're not friendly with that monkey is a ick monkey.
Right, but
it's
that's on
evil.
You for
no,
not
no,
being.
No, 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 no. Monkeys are not pets, you guys. Monkeys are meant to be out in the wild. No.
You don't think a monkey could be happy living in a house?
I think he'd be happier
with a little bed and a little doggy door to go in and out into the yard and stuff like that. Why
it's
not?
A monkey door, Bean.
Yeah, it would be a monkey door.
Come on. They've got opposable thumbs. They need a monkey door.
Well, that's true. They could just open the regular door. Was the monkey the famous monkey who used to be on Friends? Was this the monkey that you met?
No, but
how many famous monkeys are there?
Marcel? What was that monkey's
name? Marcel.
Marcel,
that's right.
Yeah.
All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-106. If you want your experience of owning monkeys or knowing people who have owned monkeys, because seriously, at some point, Kevin's got to get a monkey. Let's go to Frank. He's up first. He's in Riverside. He's on line one.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
You've had a monkey?
No, my nephew did. He had a spider monkey.
Okay.
Now, tell me about that.
It was pretty cool. I mean, he brought it, his dad bought it as a gift, and he had it for quite a while.
Let me just interrupt. That might not be the best gift. A monkey.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay, so he had it for a while.
Yeah, that time my nephew was going through his stage when he was probably like a teenager and going through like porn. So he will watch that, I guess.
Hold on. So did you transition from having a monkey to he was a teenager watching porn?
He went through that stage, but anyways, a monkey will.
But wait, why?
No, he
was
did
the monkey.
Not.
The monkey wasn't involved
yes,
with anything
he just
having to
said
do.
It, and you guys missed it.
Was the monkey in the room when the nephew was taking care
yes,
of that business?
He said, no, the monkey took care of the business for him.
Yeah, the monkey will do what they're doing in service themselves.
Okay, but not the nephew. The monkey was no. Watching the porn and
was,
having fun
it
too.
It was strictly monkey on monkey.
Yes.
This is just getting better.
Now, let me ask you.
I had no idea the monkeys love porn. That's great.
Now, Frank, I have two questions. One is, does the monkey get turned on by human porn, or does the monkey need its own monkey porn, like its own little TV with monkey porn on it?
I have no idea.
Is there monkey porn? Is a better question.
And my other question is, how was your nephew able to, without getting any kind of details, stay interested in what he was doing if there's a monkey masturbating next to him? I feel like that would be too much of a distraction to be able to enjoy your own self.
I have no idea. That's a question he needs to answer that.
Yeah. Well, we need his phone number.
What happened to, before we let you go, Frank, what happened to the monkey? It sounds like he doesn't own the monkey anymore.
Ended up dying. I'm not sure how. I think got sick.
Of old age, I hope, as a happy older
That's
monkey
right.
is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Satisfied right. with his life.
How could he not be? Non-stop hot and cold running porn
could
in that
you
house.
Guys have predicted that call?
No.
No.
All right.
Sarah, you hang on. Emily, Sunny, Yasmin, we got lots of people with lots of stories about monkeys. We're going to get Kevin a monkey before the end of this show today. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
I can't deal right now.
I sure hope nobody checks my browser history.
You shouldn't be looking at those monkey videos.
Just saying.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin DeBeach Show here on a Tuesday. We're talking about monkeys.
Why do you have a monkey?
It's an animal that looks like a dude. Why don't I have 10 of them?
About once a year, I say to Kevin, whatever happened to that great idea you had one time of getting a monkey? And he always has some BS excuse why it hasn't happened. So today we're taking your calls about awesome things that you've done with monkeys that you've had or friends have had monkeys and it's been awesome. Let's start with Yasmin, line two, please. She's up next in Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Yasmin.
Hi, good morning.
You had a monkey?
Yes. So, well, no, I personally didn't have it. My aunt, growing up, my aunt had a pet capuchin monkey.
Nice.
And I have very fond memories of it. It was very playful. It would follow me around. I had very long hair, so it would brush my hair, and it was great.
The monkey would brush your hair.
Yes. Right, I loved him so much. But he hated my sister, who was only a year younger than I am, and she also had long hair. So the monkey would spy on her. She was about 5 at the time. And whenever she was by herself, he would literally jump from high objects and grab her by the hair and drag her down. And
what?
Oh,
God. How many times did that happen?
I want to say that I vividly remember about 3 times.
How did it happen more than once?
Well, my parents, I know we would go visit my aunts, and, you know, you're just visiting, playing around with my cousins, and this little capuchin monkey would, like, spy. He'd keep an eye on her, and whenever he would see an opportunity, he would go for it, dive, you know, grab her by the hair and drag her around, make her cry.
Wow. Oh, man.
That's a bad monkey.
Yeah. It sounds like if you're on the right side of the monkey,
right.
It would be awesome,
yes,
but if you're not, it would not be any fun. What else, real quick, Yaz, before you go, yes, what else besides combing hair would the monkey do? Because it seems like monkeys are super smart and they have those hands that can do anything that we can do. What else? I mean, my vision
I'm
is that they're
uncomfortable with where this is going.
No, my vision is that they're, like I said, they're going to the fridge to get you a beer. They're helping bring in groceries. It just seems like there's a lot of stuff you could teach your monkey to do. Did your aunt do that?
To be quite honest, like I said, I would only go on vacation to her house and see him from time to time. But I know that he loves snacks, like certain snacks that my aunt would buy, and he'd go in the pantry and help himself. So he was not shy about doing that. But, of course, he would get in trouble with my grandmother, who would also visit.
Sure.
Because my grandmother would buy, let's say, her pine nuts and certain things that she would have to hide from the monkey because he was very creative about
getting
it.
See, Kevin, how much fun your life would be if you had to hide food from a monkey.
All right. Yasmin, should I get a monkey?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. That's a yes.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Emily. Emily has a difference of opinion with you, Kevin, and you are Melinda on line 4. Emily, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. You're on the Kevin Bean Show. It's Monkey Talk.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, my
you can hear the disappointment in her voice.
No, I get into work at 7:30 in the morning,
okay.
So I'm exhausted.
All right.
Anyways, so yeah, my great-grandpa had a monkey, and, you know, whatever, this monkey was not nice to anyone except my great-grandpa. Whenever I tried to go up and give him a hug, he would literally either punch me or whack me in the face, hit me on top of my head. He didn't like anyone, like, I don't know what type of monkey it was.
Is it possible that your great grandpa trained the monkey to do that to you specifically?
He could have because he was a jerk.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Emily. You know what to do.
No, pretty much. I was like, okay, everyone avoid him. Like, but I love my great grandpa. Don't get me wrong. But he like was kind of like just one of those tough old. He had an eye patch. He was just a big old guy, and he had a monkey.
This story has everything.
I also need an eye patch
and a peg leg while you're at it.
We're on the topic.
All right, Emily, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Wow, we got some good calls here. Let's go to Brian in Los Angeles, line 7. Brian sounds like he may work in the vet industry or animal care. He's got some wisdom to share.
Is he going to rain on my parade?
Brian, don't say a word if you're going to tell us that having a monkey isn't awesome.
Okay.
Talk to you later, Brian.
I don't think it's a good idea.
Really? How come?
Okay. Well, here it goes. All right. I used to work nights, so there was a shooting over here in L.A. And all right, so you know the police department, they call us to go and help with the animal stuff. Well, somehow this bullet casing ended up inside this monkey's cage. And the monkey is running around, you know, chewing on the monkey. So, chewing on the bullet casing. So, we have to
this
go
is a
there.
Terrible this is a story, yeah, by the way, Brian.
It's You're a terrible story that's terribly told.
And telling it very poorly. Right. So the monkey, what's the short version? The monkey ended up shooting someone or not? What happened?
It did not shoot anybody. But, let me see, we had to get the monkey. So the officer uses me to hold the cage shut while he uses one of those, you know, the poles that they use to get dogs.
Yeah.
Uses one of those to get the money.
Wow, we were all having a great time till right now, right? Wasn't it fun till right now?
It sure was. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the call. What a phenomenal story that was. All right. I am being told that we have a call from the hotline to heaven, Kevin. I don't know what this is about, but very rarely does the red phone ring and it's them calling us. But let's bring it up and find out who this is. Oh, Michael! How are you, Michael Jackson?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
What a surprise this is. You never call us. What's happening?
Well, I was just up here listening to your show.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
As you do.
I stream it.
Uh-huh.
On the heaven internet.
Right.
I bet they have good internet up there.
That's a fast internet.
So fast.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Download anything.
Uh-huh.
And there's no restrictions.
Okay.
All right, we don't need to talk about that, but listen.
You can get monkey videos.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Anyway, I used to have a monkey.
You did?
Yeah, that's right. Bubbles. You famously had Bubbles, right.
Bubbles. And I got to tell you, Kevin, you absolutely have to get a monkey.
Really? So you had a great time with Bubbles.
Bubbles was amazing, and they're so smart. You can train them to do anything. I trained Bubbles to hide incriminating evidence.
How did Bubbles know the difference between just regular things and incriminating evidence?
Well, my underwear was much bigger.
Oh.
So he was trained to pick up smaller underwear.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, no. Come on. You're not helping.
Come on.
And he'd bury it in the backyard.
We were just having fun, helping. Just talking about playing ball with a monkey.
Sadly, once he buried Emmanuel Lewis.
Lobster?
I had to dig him out.
So you'd say no then, or yes?
No, it's fine. Just keep an eye on him because sometimes he'll bury a victim.
It's a good tip, Michael. Thank you, sir.
I'll be aware of that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
The pit bull of comedy, our friend Bobby Sladen, in studio next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Sad news. The log lady's gone. Catherine Coulson, best known for playing the log lady on Twin Peaks, died Monday, age of 71. It was sad because she was part of the campaign to get David Lynch back on board to helm the Twin Peaks reboot that was going to be happening on Showtime. And she was featured in the video asking for him to come back. She was there holding her log.
Did the log say anything?
It did.
It
said,
"Be careful. Only the log lady can
Only
hear.
Only the log lady can hear. Hollywood Reporter says director David Lynch, creator of Twin Peaks, of course, released a tribute to Catherine, noting that she had a great sense of humor. She loved to laugh and make people laugh. She was a spiritual person, a longtime TM meditator. She was the log lady. She also worked with Lynch in his movie Eraserhead before being cast in Twin Peaks, but they were longtime collaborators, and it's sad that she's gone and won't be around for the reboot.
It is. We had her on the show back during the original run of Twin Peaks, and she was such a nice old lady.
Of course, she wasn't that old back then.
She was.
No, she probably wasn't. Oh, okay. Because math.
Right. She was probably like 40, but she seemed old.
Because math exists.
Hold on, math. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't considering math.
Right. Also, another passing that's showbiz related. Eric Rohner from MTV's Nitro Circus passed away after a skydiving stunt went horribly wrong in Lake Tahoe, California. He was part of an opening act for a golf tournament yesterday and died after hitting a tree on the way down from his skydive. And horrible, horrible accident. Rohner was 38, survived by a wife and two children. So that's not good.
That is not good.
You know what is good, though? A Jennifer Lopez sex tape.
Yeah!
Right? Who's with me? Right?
I think I'd be in, yeah.
Here's the thing. The source for the tape apparently is Jennifer Lopez's first husband, Ohani Noah. Now, they haven't been married for 17 years, but he is hell-bent on releasing a video, apparently, that was filmed on their honeymoon.
Wow. Is this like a desperation money thing, do you think?
I don't know if he's desperate, but I'm sure he could probably use a little extra cash. In Touch magazine reports that Noah and his business partner think they've found a legal loophole that will allow them to mass-produce the footage, which reportedly features Jennifer Lopez with a lack of clothing and in sexual situations. Do they need to describe what a sex tape is to us? I think we know what a sex tape means. Oh, but this sex tape shows her without clothing.
She takes her clothes off.
And in sexual situations. Yeah, they say it's guaranteed to shock her fans. Yeah. Extreme sex.
Can they do that legally without her okay?
Well, In Touch magazine reports that Noah and his partner, Admire, believe they found a legal loophole that will allow them to mass produce the footage, said Ralph a second time.
But legally, are they allowed to?
That was my question.
Why do I even bother talking to you people? Does anybody listen?
Is there any sex on this tape at all?
There is a lack of clothing, and Jennifer is in sexual situations.
You should have mentioned
to
that.
The description. I'm just shocked because there's so many. There's a glut of. Come on!
Yay!
All right, fine.
Bean, why do you hate fun?
Celebrity birthdays. Ian McShane is 73 years old today. Primus singer Les Claypool turns 52. Zachary Levi, of course, is now in the Heroes Reborn series. He was Chuck for many years and the genius behind Nerd HQ down there at Comic-Con each and every summer. 35 years old. So You Think You Can Dance's Steven Twitch Boss is 33 years old. You know, it's new release day. As an aside, new releases available today. Here's what you can pick up out on DVD. Zombie, iZombie, Season 1 is available.
I love that show.
What a good show.
Great show.
Did you get on board with that, Ralph? You watched that one?
I did, yes.
Really
fun. I DVR'd. I was late, but I watched them all in a grouping, and they were good times. Jane the Virgin, Season 1, also available. Grimm, Season 4. Outlander, Season 1, Volume 2. The second half of the first season of Outlander is now available. And The Slap, if you want to catch The Slap. That's out on DVD. The slap. The
Who's going to buy to own
Come on.
The slap?
I can't get enough of the slap.
Well, that was like a neighbor hit a kid or something?
Yeah.
What was the slap?
What
was
yes. the... Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was
and
it.
If
you
I remember correctly. The kid and then the all hell like, broke
oh,
loose.
It's
oh,
on.
No, you didn't.
I watched the Australian version.
What?
Boy, does that contribute serious, so little to the conversation we're having.
Serious F.
The only thing I remember about the slap
you
is it
exhaust
had...
me.
It had a really good cast. Like, was it Uma Thurman was in it
uh-huh,
and Zachary Quinto? Yeah, there were a bunch of like really good people, but I never was motivated enough to watch the American version. Of course, I know a girl who watched the Australian
I
version.
Watched,
and she
I watched
liked
the
it.
Australian version that had Jocko McGee in it and Sarah McCumbridge.
Where did you think that conversation was going to go from there?
How did it help, Allie?
Why would you volunteer that? Does that give you some sort of points?
And nobody's even heard of the American slap that Ralph's talking about. What makes you think people cared about the Australian version?
It was really good.
This is why you failed.
I watched the Australian click language version. It was called the...
What the hell's wrong with you?
I would totally watch that.
I'm getting out of this room right now. I'm Ralph Garman.
Come
I walk the
Ralph,
show business.
We're still friends, though, right?
No.
He is a longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, the pit bull of comedy himself. Bobby Slayton is here in town this weekend for four big shows at the Brea Improv. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, improv.com. Mr. Slayton, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. You know, of course, driving here in the traffic, I was listening to you guys, and I just got to say one thing about the monkey thing.
I need
First
yes.
of all, I hate to quote another comedian, but Jerry Seinfeld once had a bit. He's so right about this. He said, if anybody's going to get a monkey, why don't you just make the commitment and get yourself a child? I mean, why don't you have, just go adopt a kid?
I have if, a child.
But
I have
why
children.
But why would you want another monkey? Why would you want a monkey if you already
Take
have a kid?
Take it easy with another monkey.
Another
it's
monkey.
It's a totally but, different experience. That's why, because it's not the same as having a child.
It's not the same, but exactly. But a child has enough problems. Okay, let me take this one step further.
Okay.
And where Jerry took it from. Because, okay, you have a child, and they can be a lot of problems. First of all, you have a monkey, and you do everything you can to raise this monkey correctly, and the monkey will never become president, a war hero. There's always
you
so much
don't
a monkey
know that,
do.
Man. Not with that attitude.
Okay. But then again, on the other spectrum, on the other side of the coin, you got to say that he'll never drop out of medical school.
Right.
He'll never become a serial killer. He won't start some horrible band like Journey. He won't let you down and embarrass you wherever you go. So maybe having a monkey could be good. You know,
see, now, we just won Bobby over
so
on having
wait,
a monkey.
I'm unclear. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I could go either way on it. But here's my problem. Just having a dog is enough aggravation. Because I mean, you have a dog. You know, they're gone in 15 years, which is a shame because they're man's best friend. You get a wife, that thing can live to 90. How long is that? I think it would be great if your dog can live to 90 and your wife disappeared after 15 years.
Boom!
You know, she was a great wife, but, you know, she was going behind the couch and she was going blind. We had to put her down. And it was sad because she was like part of the family. But
that is the best idea you've ever had.
But, was that to hit her in the nose with a newspaper?
Yes. Well, I'm not saying you should do that, but you should even do that to a dog. But you could always go to the shelter and get a rescue wife. You know, you get an older one with no teeth who appreciates her freedom and takes care of you. But here's my problem. Okay, I have a dog, and I love my dog very much, and they call me the pit bull of comedy, but I have a miniature pincher. And this dog, you know, I bought for my daughter. She moves out of the house, and now the dog is attached to me, and I love the dog. So my wife uses the dog as an excuse not to have sex because the dog's always in the bed with us.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And if we
How
lock,
hard is it to say, can we just kick the dog out
no,
for a second?
No, because here's the problem, okay. Kev. Right. If we put the dog out of the room, he starts banging on the door and howling, and it kind of ruins the whole mood. So first of all, I'm one of those people. I don't mind if the dog's in bed with us. My wife finds it creepy. A lot of people find it creepy.
I think it would be creepy.
Well, it's not creepy. The dog's sitting there. He's not causing any problems. And then my wife's always creeped out. And she goes, doesn't it bother you that the dog's in the bed? And she's always saying it's creepy. And I go, no, I find it creepy when she's in the bed. The dog's fine. And we're just me and some whipped cream and porn. And my wife wasn't there. You know, I think it would be just
terrible
fine.
Visual. Don't ever bring that up
what
again,
What if you
Bobby?
Put the dog outside and it starts howling, and then while you're having sex, you start howling?
Oh,
boom, problem solved.
Yeah, I guess. It sounds good on paper. Oh. You know what? I might just get a monkey. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're about the whole thing. You know,
Bobby, I got a question for
yes,
you, sir. And
yes.
This is serious. And I have to jump in. And I apologize. But it's the only way
make
to get
quick.
A goddamn
make
question
quick.
In when you're talking. And okay. That is, you're a man of a certain age. You've been around for a while.
60.
You are?
You look fantastic,
wow.
Is my point. My question was, how are you in such great shape? Because you don't strike me as the kind of guy who would work out. You strike me as more of a sitting around by the pool drinking kind of guy.
I do that. But I don't gain weight because I do a lot of blow still. How do you think I'm this kind of energy?
Good, that's
no,
the answer.
No, you know what it is? By the way, that's when you know you're getting old, when somebody says, you look good. You don't hear that when you're in your 20s. You don't hear, hey, you look terrific. What are you, like 18? You look like you're in high school. Well, what do you do to take care of yourself?
That's true.
It's only when you're
old.
I
meant it as a compliment, though. I mean, you don't look old because you look like you're in great shape. And I'm surprised by that because, you know, I think about a comedian. And I think about the traveling. I think about the lifestyle. I think about the late nights and the parties and stuff. And I think, wow, you should be pretty rung up at this point, but you look great.
I'm like a monkey. I get the metabolism of a hummingbird. I don't stop moving. You know, I can't get a good night's sleep. I just keep moving, and I'm very lucky. You know, my wife's like that, too. She's in great shape. You know, I think I mentioned this last time I was on the show. We both turned 60 this year,
right,
which doesn't bother me, but her vagina turned 60, and it's and she wanted to get that rejuvenation, and I thought it was more of a teardown, and the beams are rotted. I think the thing's haunted, and she just gets mad when I try to give her some creative criticism.
I can't understand why.
And I would – vaginal rejuvenation, so I was reading about it in L.A. Weekly, or L.A. – you know, they have a whole thing. There's all these doctors, and I don't
know. Yeah, it's very popular.
Well, it's very popular. I don't know what it is, but I just thought that we should bring in pest control, and I hear noises in there. I think a vagina was built on an Indian graveyard. I think it's a poltergeist. We have a problem. I try to help her. Can you say that on the radio?
I don't think so. I think a button was pushed. Hey, Bobby, how's it going writing the book? Last time you were in, you said you were putting it all down on paper.
I have rewritten this book 12 times because, by the way, I sent you a few chapters.
I read the two chapters that you sent me, and they were excellent. I just want to find out what the update is.
Those are only two chapters I've done. No. The book, you know what? I keep reading all these books by other comics, mm-hmm. and the one thing that I want to do is have a book that's funnier. And, you know, you don't want to call too many people out on the carpet because then you look like a bitter old comic, which I am.
Sure.
And you don't want to look too angry, which I am. So to combine the bitterness, the funniness, I don't want to be like, you know, Pat Cooper or, you know, one of these old guys who are just, comics today. But, you know, they really are. I watch Netflix a lot. There's some terrific comics working today. And your usual suspects, Bill Burr and Louis C.K. and Amy Schumer. But there's so much crap on Netflix. I sit there and I try to watch some of these comics. And you know what I realize? There's so many people, even your listeners, they're in their 20s and 30s, maybe even younger. And they don't know a lot of this stuff's been done by guys of my generation. And, you know, and not just me, but right before me, there was Leno and Letterman and, you know, all these comics. And every topic that comics are covering now has been covered by guys of my generation.
So does that ruin it for you?
No, I mean, there's new things like the internet, and there's new things like, you know, the new wars, and there's things that, but what I'm finding is it's all recycled, rehashed material. And in the 70s and 80s, when comedy had this big boom, and you guys have been around for a while, you know, there was a research, this comedy took over from the Borscht Belt, and Ed Sullivan, and, you know, and it took it to another level with Eddie Murphy, and it just got better and better, you know? And now I just watch this, and go, I did that joke 30 years ago with this guy, you know, and it makes it more difficult.
Does it make you bitter that now he's more – that guy telling that same joke that you told is maybe more successful?
No, because you know what? There are still a few people – I still have a few fans that are alive, and some of them most of them look terrible, which makes me feel better. You know, I've never been to a high school reunion. They just had my 40th high school reunion, and I'm looking – I mean, I think most people do this. I think most people go on Facebook. I know everybody in this room has done this. You've gone on Facebook, and you looked at people that you had a crush on in high school that are bald and fat, and I'm just talking about the women. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I wrote that joke in 1948. But you go on Facebook and you look at these people and go, yeah, I look so much better than them, and they're fat and ugly.
Did you say you did go to the reunion?
No, I didn't go, but people sent me pictures, and I'm going, my God, you know, you don't recognize some of the people. And, you know, except for my gray hair and my testicles hanging down a little, and I can't hear and I can't see, I'm exactly the same guy.
Great.
I haven't changed since 18. I'm like Ralph. I masturbate and watch Batman all day. I haven't changed. I did this one as a teenager. I do it now.
The Brea Improv this weekend. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night for the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton. Tickets are on sale now at improv.com. Just $20. Go see our friend Bobby. More in a moment after this on K-Rock. Our friend Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. He is delightful as always and exhausting as always, but you can see him at the Brea Improv this weekend, Friday and Saturday, improv.com. By the way, you love it when you get to play in Southern California because I know you do still travel quite a bit. You were just in Nevada.
Oh, I was in Reno. You know why I love – well, first of all, I like to be home. You know, it's nice. But, you know, when you play Brea or Irvine, I always ask them for a hotel room because just that drive through downtown from the Valley or down the 405, sometimes it takes a lot longer for me to get to – the last time I played Brea, this is a true story. I was going on a Friday afternoon. I said, look, I know it's going to take a while, and I know going through downtown is always hell. I'll leave at 2:30 in the afternoon. And it took me usually a 15-20 minute drive from Sherman Oaks in the Valley. It was about 2 hours. It was another hour before I even got three, 4 hours. And
but at least when you got there, you were in a good mood, so that helped.
No, no, here's what happened. I almost missed a show, and I had called, this is last year, I called the manager of the club. I've never missed a show before. And by the way, I put on the radio, because you know, you think, okay, there was an accident. You look above, there's helicopters. And then you see there's nothing's going on.
Yeah.
It's just L.A., horrible, horrendous, nightmare traffic. And I called the club. I said, I don't think I'm going to make the show. I've been sitting here for 3 hours, not in a good mood. He says, do you have that app, Waze? You know, Waze. I'd never heard of it. He goes, put Waze in your smartphone. You'll be here in 20 minutes. I said, I don't think this is going to happen. And it worked, you know. And now I'm thinking, God, I just gave them a plug. Maybe they can send me something just like Skechers. You know, the last time I was on your show and I mentioned Skechers, my wife had bought me a special pair and had it made for me. The greatest shoes ever. They sent me a box of coupons, said, make sure you give these to Kevin and Bean and give them some free Skechers.
You said a box of coupons. You just gave us one. The box?
Well, there's a lot of other radio stations in town. Not a box. They sent me a big envelope. I had to give it to my wife, my daughter. But they said, make sure you give them to Kevin and Bean and everybody over at K-Rock, which shows you the power of radio, that when you plug something, which you probably can't do because it's payola. But anyway, when I was driving in my Honda out to Brea, the Honda's not really working. It's been a great car for so long. And if anybody from Honda's listening, I could use the idea of walking into my car in a pair of Skechers and hopping into my Honda and driving. I don't care how long the traffic is because the car just rides so smoothly.
Plus, you got that Waze app. They said you freestyle.
Anybody listening, Honda, BMW. Anyway, what I was going to say was when you play Southern California, it's just Brea, Irvine, a Comedy Magic Club, just nice bedroom communities. I was in Reno this week playing World Famous Laugh Factory.
Were you doing that on purpose? You go to Reno on purpose? I mean,
well, it pays money.
I know, but it's Reno.
You know what? The people who go to Reno, I have a feeling, you know, you get to Reno and you go, I'm too lazy to make it to Tahoe. I'm too lazy to spend the kind of money. I can't ski. You know, let's just stay in Reno. And half the casinos are boarded up, but the Laugh Factory in the Silver Legacy is beautiful. But here's the thing. A lot of locals don't want to come downtown because it's kind of depressing. And they certainly don't want to come downtown when there's an event going on. So Harley Davidson had their big, giant Harley Davidson fest.
Right.
With, you know, street booths and racing. And, you know, there's all these kind of Harley, there's Hell's Angels are there.
Sure.
There's a black motorcycle group. There's Bikers for Jesus, Bikers Against Alcohol. Not a lot of Jewish bikers. I didn't see, like, there were no Mel's Angels. You didn't see, I don't think Jews and bikes really go together. It kind of scares them more than Nazis. I think, what scares you more, Nazis or a motorcycle, you know? Or dentist. That's why that Nazi dentist, the Marathon Man, was the scariest person in the world. He's a dentist and a Nazi.
Right?
You can't make anybody more frightening than that. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so anyway, so all these biker chicks.
You lost me at Nazi.
Okay. But you know what it is? My wife is so not a biker chick that I think these biker chicks, you know, when they're good looking, I don't think, some of them are pretty hideous, but the thing is, they were so unlike my wife that they looked attractive.
It kind of turns on a little bit.
Well, my wife's like a girly girl. You know, she's got her pink Skechers. And she's got her little angel shirt.
They already sent you free Skechers. You don't need it.
But you go there, and these women are biker boots and leather chaps,
right,
and functional vaginas and neck tattoos. Everything my wife doesn't have. And they just find them to be so hot.
Are there comedy groupies anymore, Bobby?
Yes, but they're at the Dane Cook concerts, and they're at other shows. They're not so much at my shows.
Okay. Have you ever been flashed while doing comedy?
Slapped?
No, flashed.
Oh, flashed. Yeah. I think it said slapped. No, you know what?
Slapped, I would assume, yes.
That's the thing. You know, you see, that's why rock stars, I think every comic wants to be a rock star, and, you know, because it's that adulation. And then when rock stars do stupid jokes, they get this roar. It's hard enough for a comic to get a laugh on a good joke. But
I went to a U2 show, and there was a woman that flashed. And I'm telling you that is, she was the right demo for U2, and she was old. And the wrong person to flash.
Yeah, I think when you're
you keep your clothes on.
You're Kevin Hart or Louis C.K. You're playing Madison Square Garden. You're playing the Laugh Factory in Reno. You're not getting a lot of that, you know?
I understand.
I'm lucky I get paid.
You didn't get into comedy for the girls. No, you got into comedy for the love of show business.
I got into comedy,
Bobby?
Because I couldn't do anything else. And, you know, when I come on your show, you're nice enough to have me on all the time. And, you know, it's great for 15 minutes, but I can't imagine doing this 4 hours a day, you know, 20 hours at least a week. I can't do anything else. I can't work with people. I get fired from every job I ever had. when I was 17 years old, I had a job in a record store, which I thought would be the coolest thing ever, because you get free T-shirts and free posters. And yeah. I remember the boss coming in. It was a chain of record stores called Banana Records up in the Bay Area. Remember the boss coming in, and he'd come in undercover, and he'd see how the employees are doing. And the new Stones album had just come out, and these two gay guys are buying, like, Barbra Streisand and Saturday Night Fever. Well, what's wrong with you two homos? The new Stones album is out. Are you crazy? Would you buy this? And that job didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff I did. And I parlayed that insulting people and pissing off people into a job.
What was the last non-show business job you had?
Well, I'm a comic. Playing the Bray Improv. Is that showbiz? I'm not even sure this is showbiz.
I think showbiz. It's showbiz.
Not even sure.
Yeah. We're going to say that's showbiz.
Now, what about radio? Is that show? Would you do it?
That's still show business.
You know what?
I'm asking, what was the last civilian job you had? The last job that wasn't the entertainment?
Showbiz adjacent.
Yeah.
Last job I had was on the fringes of showbiz. I was a doorman at this nightclub, a very famous nightclub called The Boarding House in San Francisco. And Steve Martin used to play there every 6 months to bail out the owner, David Allen, because he wasn't really a good businessman. So I was a doorman, and I remember seeing Robin Williams for the first time. And that's not when I said I wanted to do stand-up, but Robin was opening up for Melissa Manchester, and he walked on stage. This was way before Mork and Mindy. And Robin walked on stage, and they said, Robin couldn't be here tonight. We have Nicky Lennon from Russia. And he came out, this is like pre-Yakov Smirnoff, and started doing these Russian jokes, kind of like Andy Kaufman, this performance art. And none of the jokes are working,
right?
You know, on purpose. And then he went into Robin, and the rest is history. So I'd watch him, I'd watch Steve Martin, and then I decided I wanted to do stand-up comedy. And David Johansen from the New York Dolls was playing there one time, and I was dying open up for David Johansen. I'd only been trying and dabbling in comedy once in a while. And either Sandra Bernhardt quit or they fired her the first night, because I came into work as a doorman. And not being a big, beefy guy, I couldn't handle any problems.
I don't really see you as a doorman.
No, I wasn't very good at this. I wasn't very good.
You want to come in? Come on in.
Yeah,
care.
I'd start fights. I have these big guys behind me just kind of ending the fight. So they fired Sandra Bernhardt, and they had me go on stage. You asked what I did before stand-up. So I got up on stage, and I got a lot of laughs, considering
that first time you got a lot of laughs.
Now, I'd been up on before at like this little club called the Holy City Zoo. A lot of laughs, considering that I was new at it.
Okay.
If I look back at it now, it probably was not a lot of laughs. Just if, you know, you get any laughs in front of a room full of strangers, it's pretty cool. So
but
I was
when
a
you,
doorman.
When you start to tell those stories, though, and the intersection you've had with so many famous people in the 20th century, Bobby, that's why I want you to write this book.
The book's almost done.
Stop saying that. Write the book.
I'm going to come back in February, whether you like it or not, when I play Flappers. Right now I'm in Brea. And the book should be done by then. I'm really going to have a copy of it for you.
I am save very excited to read it.
Save this tape
indeed. All right, we're out of time. Bobby Slayton is at the Bray Improv this weekend. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. By the way, it's Tuesday already. You better leave now.
I am leaving.
Sure
tomorrow
there.
Morning. Leave Wednesday morning.
First thing Wednesday morning to get down there for Friday. Tickets available now through improv.com. You'll have a great time. I guarantee it. Tickets just $20. Improv.com. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Congratulations to Dalit Brady from Northridge. Won tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. That's right. We're giving them away all this week here on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Details at krock.com. I'm very sad that the Pope is no longer in America. You know how much I love Pope Francis, Kevin.
I do, but I'm not sad that he's not. I know you're not Catholic, and you also don't believe in God. But if the Pope was in Seattle, you wouldn't have gone.
Probably not. I would have watched him on TV, though, and that would have been cool. It was great to see the Pope in Washington. It was great to see the Pope in New York and see the Pope in Philadelphia, and he just did lots of cool things. The Pope is just – he's just a baller.
Can I just interrupt? I'm not sure the Pope's a baller.
Did you see him, Allie? I know you love the Pope as I do. Mm-hmm. Did you see him pull over the motorcade to kiss that kid on the head with the cerebral palsy? Did you see that?
I saw that. I saw the kid that ran out, somebody holding the kid. It's a beautiful thing to see.
And then the little baby that was dressed up as the Pope that he kissed too. It's just adorable. And the world loves the Pope. And now I'm happy to say there's been a lot of Pope merchandise as a result of the Pope's visit to America. You've been able to buy a Pope bobblehead, and there's been T-shirts. There's been all sorts of cool stuff. Now there's a Pope album that's getting ready to come out. Pope Francis has an album coming out. It is called Wake Up, Go Forward. The Pope, as I understand, Kevin, he does not sing. He does not rap on this album. But what somebody has done, a musician named Tony Bugliki, has taken some of the Pope's speeches and written music around them and put it together to make songs by the Pope, which I think is a great idea.
I have a clip. You want to hear it? This is real. This is real. This is not one of our little fake clips. Here we go.
Wake up. This Lord speaks of a responsibility which the Lord gives you. It is the duty to be vigilant
not to allow the pressures, the temptation, and the sins of the ourselves or other to dull our sensibility to the beauty of holiness, to the joy of the gospel.
I don't feel like that's going to be my jam.
I see working out to nothing else but Pope Francis is on. Because you know what a gym rat I am.
Are there any songs on it, or is it all just...
Well, I don't have... That's the only track that's been released so far, is that initial single, that Wake Up song. So I don't know what the rest of the record is like, but we did ask Dave if there's any chance we can get his Holy Father back on the phone. He is back in Rome now, out of the United States, and apparently we have lined him up, and we have Pope Francis on the phone right now. Hi, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Did you have a nice time in America?
I must say, America is... a wonderful place, so welcoming and full of love and promise for the future, and the freedom of America does amazing things for the spirit.
Well, we want to ask you about the new record, but just one more Philadelphia-related question is, what was it like hanging out with actor Mark Wahlberg the other day?
Wahlberg, first of all, is a really nice guy. And I said to him, it's a pleasure for me to meet you. And he said, what? No.
Why would he say that?
He was surprised that I was so excited to meet him.
And it wasn't believable at all the way he said that line, right?
Not at all. And I said to him, I love what you do with the art of acting. It's what I try to do with the guidance of my flock in religion,
right,
is to transform the spirit. And he said, I think we got a transformer.
Now, did that make sense to you?
It did. I didn't know what that line means from him.
Okay.
But apparently, he's very sweet. He said to me, tell your mother I say hello.
Okay, all right. That's the
my mother is gone many years now, but I give a prayer to her. Hopefully she knows that I say hello to her.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about this this record. Musician, I'm going to try the name again. Tony Bagliuca is his name. He is a prog rock artist, and he has taken samples from your speeches and put them to music and is putting out a rock and roll album, right?
Yes, it's very exciting to hear my new jam. My new joint,
right?
Wake up, go forward. And the response is being incredibly, everybody so much like it.
Now, is it all older speeches that they put music to?
This one, this album is spoken word.
Okay.
My speech to music beds underneath that.
Okay.
But everyone is so excited and likes so much with the work that I do. That I am now working on a second album of music that I sing on the album.
Really?
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yes, it's going to be a very personal project for me to sing the my favorite songs on the new album.
Oh, so they're covers?
It's, yeah, all cover songs, versions of songs that I love and mean a lot to me.
Oh, wow.
And it's personal favorites of mine. In my new album, Francis Goes to Hollywood.
Well, nice title.
Yes, it was touch and go with the legal department.
Sure.
But it's different because I'm not going to say Frankie.
Right. What kinds of songs will you, a 78-year-old, be attempting to sing on this album, Pope Francis?
All my favorites. All the songs made a big impression. Popular music make a big impression on me.
Okay.
And so is she okay?
I don't know if she's okay or not. Not positive.
Can you pray for her?
Every day I pray for her.
Yeah.
Maybe she find a home and get out of her car.
Right, exactly.
But popular music that has made impression on me.
Like what? Give us an example of a song that you
I'm working in the studio now. Here's some of the songs that will be on the new album, Francis Goes to Hollywood.
All right.
I'm on the highway to hell.
That's
highway to hell.
Doesn't make, I don't see.
Highway to hell.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, but why are you singing about being on a highway to hell? Shouldn't your music be more about getting to heaven?
Well, sure, I guess, but it's like songs I like. I
good song. Okay.
You
all
like
right.
what you like in this life.
That's
well,
true.
That's true. It is a good song.
It's not a song I love so much. Devil inside, devil inside. Every single one of us have a devil inside. Devil inside.
Again.
Devil inside. Look inside of me, I got a devil inside.
Wow.
But Pope, it's the devil, though. I mean,
yeah, your, Pope.
Your ultimate. Your ultimate Pope.
But Pope.
Come on, Pope.
Call me Pope. Here's another song I love.
Yes,
so much,
oh yeah?
And it's on the new album.
Okay.
Running with the devil. Yeah! Running with the devil.
Again, seems I'm like very confused.
Seems like a devil theme is running through
yeah.
this.
This song's real good. Hell! Hell is for children.
Why is wow. this album so dark?
And the little us. Heads are so small that they can't hold a brain.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love that song.
I just, this is such a surprise to me. I got to be honest.
This was my favorite, I think.
Okay.
I want to hump you like an animal.
Okay. That's...
I want to bless you from the inside. I want to hump you like an animal. Yeah. I get you closer to God. Yeah!
Oh, we're going to hell.
Wow.
That's very likely.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
All right, let me show you how a moment with is supposed to go, Kevin.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Mr. Trump, if you can point out that she has had some bumpy business roads...
Carly Fiorina has had some bumpy business roads.
Isn't that true of you also with all the bankruptcies that you've declared over the years? It just seems like you're the kettle calling the pot black.
Not the pot calling the kettle black.
However that expression goes. Come on, Donald.
That was A Moment with Bean.
So right? sweet when it's not me.
When it's somebody else, it's a lot of fun, those moments with. Hey, listen, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we open up the phone lines for y'all. You can call on any topic you want. It's Kevin and Bean's new What's Good feature, and this is 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call about the Carl's Jr. commercial, we'd love to discuss that, because Ali is some sort of goddamn communist, not respecting the magic of the Carl's Jr. ad campaign, first of all. But it can be anything else, any other topic that's going on in the world today that you would like to share with the Kevin and Bean audience. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are coming up right after the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You ready for the Church of Justin Bieber? You ready to be saved?
No.
By Justin Bieber? By your Lord and Savior, Justin Bieber?
Isn't he just a douchebag pop singer?
Nope.
He's now a...
Did an interview in Complex magazine this month. The brand new October-November issue of Complex. Justin graces the cover of that magazine. And on the inside is an interview that please, please take the time and read it.
Sweet.
You will thank me. Justin says in the interview that he's been saved by Christianity, which is good news. We just had the Pope on the phone. Yes, it is. He says, and here I quote, "I just want to honestly live like Jesus. Not be Jesus," he adds. "I could never. I don't want that to come across weird."
I like that thought came into his mind.
Whoa, hold on. I'm not going to be turning water into wine or anything. He created a pretty awesome template of how to love people and how to be generous and kind. And if you believe it, he died for our sins.
Are we talking about Bieber or Jesus?
This is Jesus.
Okay.
Bieber saying of Jesus. He also says that he doesn't go to church all the time. He's not that religious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He says you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. If you go to Taco Bell, that doesn't make you a taco.
Great point. Right?
He's one of the great minds of our time.
He is a philosopher.
Wow.
To be reckoned with.
That's a real quote.
Wow.
That's a real quote.
He said that.
And he's right, by the way.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
It is true.
It is true.
Hmm. It is.
And he says that he believes God is responsible for the creation of the universe.
Okay.
Because he says in this quote, science makes a lot of sense. But then I start thinking. Then I start thinking, wait, the Big Bang? For a Big Bang to create all of this is more wild to think about than thinking about there being a God. Imagine putting a bunch of gold into a box, shaking up the box, and out comes a Rolex. It's so preposterous once people start saying it.
I want to hear him talk all the time.
Because that's how the Big Bang worked.
That's real talk right there, man.
Can't put gold in a box and shake it up and come out with a Rolex, man.
No. That's science.
Again, that's tough to argue with.
Science makes a lot of sense. He starts with, until he just turns his back on science.
But I heard the jury's still out on science.
Yeah, it's true. Wow. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Hey, let's do something good for somebody.
All right.
Let's talk about this other radio station. K-Fog up there in San Francisco.
Shouldn't a guy like me be on a radio station like K-Fog?
Yeah, really.
Right.
Really.
Should be on K-Duh.
All right.
K-D-U-H. K-Duh.
I feel like people got the fog reference.
I'm Kevin on K-Duh.
I don't know. We need to.
Coming up next on K-Duh.
Keep hammering that home.
K-Duh.
Right.
They've got a couple DJs up there. An Irish DJ named Greg McQuaid. He hosts a show on K-Fog, and he works with a guy named No Name. Mike No Name Nelson. That's just contradictory right there. And No Name's wife is battling breast cancer, and Mike's 8-year-old son, Archer, has written a song called Boob Spelled Backwards is Boob.
Again, tough to argue.
That's science right there. And this 8-year-old wrote this song, and everyone there at K-Fog thought it would be cool if they could get a bunch of big-name music stars to appear on the single, and then you sell that single as a charity song to raise money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Very cool idea.
That's a great idea.
Maybe. I'm sure they assumed they get one or two big-name artists to be on the record, and that would be enough to sell.
Usually you go, oh, we need just one name.
Yeah.
And then everybody else can be filler.
Well, they got like 50 people to do it, including Florence and the Machine, Noel Gallagher, Hozier, Vance Joy, Spandau Ballet, Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, The Grateful Dead, L. King. I mean, the list looks like the greatest rock concert in the history of man. Archer is the name of the 8-year-old boy who wrote the song. Here he is introducing the single.
Hello, my name is Archer, and I'm here to tell you that 1 in 8 women have breast cancer in the world. Unfortunately, my mom was one of them. I did a lot of things to help out. I even wrote this song.
This kid is amazing,
yeah.
And this song is awesome. And the video itself is all of these stars contributing their part. It's much like We Are the World or Do You Know It's Christmas? Do they know it's Christmas? Does anyone know it's Christmas, really? And then in between, interstitial with that is scenes of real live women, average American women who are battling cancer or survivors. And it's just, it's a touching video. I recommend you go to KFOG.com/boobproject. Watch the video. Contribute some money to this worthy cause. Here's a little sample of the song. Boob spelled backwards is boob.
Boob spelled backwards.
It's boob. It's so cool to see all these artists like singing this silly little 8-year-old song, but it's just so much fun, and it's infectious, and I think you will get a kick out of it, so go check that out.
That's cool.
Boob spelled backwards is boob. Why don't we ever do something nice for anybody? What's K-Fog being all nice? What are we doing?
Nothing.
Nothing. We got to do something.
We suck.
I'm going to do something for testicular cancer.
Okay.
Ball spelled backwards is lob. That doesn't really work as well.
I don't think that's catchy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Ian McShane is 73 years old today. Primus singer Les Claypool is 52. Actory Actor Zachary Levi is 35, and So You Think You Can Dance's Stephen Twitch Boss is 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are taking your calls on any topic right now with a feature that we like to call What's Good?
What's good?
What's good? Come on and let us know what you want to talk about on this show. What's good? Come on and let us know what's going on. Time to go. What's good?
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you. I love you too, though. Thank you. Hey, I have a crazy idea, Kevin. I maybe should have asked you this off the air, but we have all of these people on the phone that are calling with What's Good, and we also have a digital download for Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron to give away.
Right.
Why don't we just put the two and two together, and the people that we talk to, we give them the thing.
There are two that we put together with two.
No, I'm saying let's put those two things together. We have callers. We also have a thing we need to give away. Why don't we just give this thing to these people?
I like the idea, but let's see how the calls are.
Since they're nice enough to call on What's Good, why don't we give them a free thing just for being on the line, the digital download code for Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, available now on digital HD and Blu-ray this Friday. Let's see if Bobby from Alhambra's call is worth it.
All right. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on?
What's good?
What's good, my friend? Thank you for calling in.
So I'm calling to talk about Narcos, the show on Netflix.
I have heard rave about Narcos. I have not checked it out yet. Am I lame, Bobby?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm calling about. Like, no one's giving any kind of hype to this show. And I'm like, what's going on? What's good?
We when we did What's Good, I think it was the first week somebody called about that. And I started watching it. I'm about four episodes in. And it's awesome.
But you have to read during it, Kevin.
Yeah,
okay. Isn't there a lot of Spanish-speaking dialogue?
Guys, come
on.
Yeah,
a lot of I speak Spanish, so I'm able to understand it.
Same.
Okay.
And but the thing is that I don't think I've seen a show this good since Breaking Bad, and that's kind of
that's awesome.
Wow. Something. Yeah.
All right, I promise you, I will watch it, Bobby. I'm glad that you put it back on my radar. I have heard great things about it, and I am excited. So, thank you for the call. Do you want a free copy of Age of Ultron?
Absolutely.
All right. You hold on, sir. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Trent. Line three, please. Trent is in Riverside. He's up next on What's Good. Hi, Trent. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, She Bean.
Hey, Trent.
What's going on?
What's good?
You tell us.
Well, are you guys familiar with e-gaming?
Of course.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. Well, obviously, it's grown into a fairly large thing. I mean, there was a tournament a couple months ago where the prize pool was about $5 to $6 million.
Right.
With it growing this large, there was an article in this month's Game Informer stating that drugs like Ritalin and Adderall are going to start being considered performance enhancement drugs, and they're going to start testing for them.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Do you disagree with that, Trent?
Does that bother you?
I don't disagree with it at all. I just find it entertaining because if you know anybody who takes those drugs on a regular basis because they're prescribed, and they miss one day, it's chaos.
Okay.
So imagine these kids who, like, are prescribed it. And a lot of these kids who play these games, you know, are prescribed ADHD medicine. And imagine them going to these high-pressure events and just being forced to play completely sober.
That is a really interesting point. Not the people who are using it, not because they need it, but because they want to kind of abuse the drug to get an edge in e-gaming. What about the kids who really do need it, and now they're not allowed to take it to compete? That's going to cause some real problems with people, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot more viral videos regarding it.
All right. Great call. Thank you so much, Trent. Hang on for your digital download code for Marvel Avenger Age of Ultron. We appreciate it. Let's go. Speaking of games, let's go to Rudy, please, in Paris, line five. This is the bad Paris in California, not the good Paris in France, right? Hey, Rudy.
Yeah, no, it's the bad Paris. The ghetto.
Right. Well, what can we do for you, my friend?
All right. I want to talk about what do you guys think about Kate Upton being replaced by Mariah Carey for those Game of War commercials?
It is a disaster. It's a colossal disaster, as a great man once said, and somebody should be fired. I mean, look, nobody wants to look at Mariah Carey when the option is there to look at Kate Upton. Am I right?
That's exactly right. That's what I thought. I started going on Instagram looking at whoever this Kate Upton chick was just because her boobs were bouncing all over the place.
Wait, so you hadn't heard, you weren't aware of her before she was in these commercials?
No, then I saw the commercials and I went nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Kate Upton is a good deal. And look, this Mariah Carey's pretty. She's fine. She is so photoshopped, so stretched in these ads. She doesn't even look real. She looks like a computer-generated version of Mariah Carey in this ad, too. It's dumb.
Yeah, she looks super still, and, I mean, all she did was sing. Looking appealing. I didn't even want to play the game. Yeah.
Rudy, did Kate Upton being in these ads make you buy the Game of War game?
Yes.
Wow. I did not expect that.
Rudy did fall for her.
Uh-huh. All right. Hang on for your Avengers Age of Ultron. We got time for a couple more calls real quick. Let's talk to Alphonse Palmdale, line 6, please.
All right. Alphonse, hi there.
This is San Pedro, putos.
No.
No.
No, I didn't feel that one.
Paul is in West Hollywood. He's up next on Kevin Bean's What Good? What's Good? 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
So I ran a Spartan race this past weekend. It was great. It was really hard. 13-plus miles.
Same.
30 obstacles. Super tough.
Right.
But I struggled with this very, philosophical thing when I was out there. So every obstacle that you don't complete, you have a 30 burpee penalty.
Ooh.
Burpees suck. Right?
Yeah, those are tough, yeah.
And so you do them on the honor system. No one is, there watching you do it, so it's on the honor system.
Uh-huh.
I did all the burpees for all the obstacles I did not complete, but I saw so many groups and individuals just blatantly not do them, period. And so...
So who's who's dumb then? You or them?
Who's dumb them?
Mm-hmm. No, who's dumb?
I did all the burpees, and so what I'm saying is, on one hand, why should I care what someone does or doesn't do?
Right.
But the next day, they still get the same medal that I earned. Should I be annoyed about this?
Yes. You should be annoyed, but you should also not regret your decision to play fairly. I think both of those things are legitimate.
That's a very fair answer. So reasonable, guys.
That's what we're known for. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Let's do one more. Jacob is calling us all the way from Austin, Texas, on line 4, you guys. What could prompt him to pick up the phone from Texas to call us?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever said that to us?
No. He was shocked saying it.
That's reasonable.
Oh, that was good.
We are not known for our reasonable responses to situations.
What's up, Jacob?
Hey, what's good? I downloaded an app today so I can listen to you guys in the car.
Fantastic.
I used to live in Southern California. And it's been 4 years, and I was like, what the hell are these guys up to? Downloaded the app, and I just want to let you guys know, you guys made my day today. You guys were hilarious.
That's really nice.
That is so nice of you. Which app are you listening to us through?
I think it's called radio.com or something.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. You can also listen to us on TuneIn. Look, we appreciate very much the people who listen to us, on the podcast, and also the people who stream us from around the country. Why'd you move to Texas, by the way, Jacob?
Well, he moved to Austin.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to Austin?
Yeah, Austin. Oh, I love Austin. I love Austin. I was just curious what brought you out there. Was it for work or a girl or what?
No, I came to visit my mom because she moved down here, and I went down 6th Street, and then on the plane, actually, I saw, trees. And I was like, dude.
There were trees on the plane?
I think he means from the air. He saw trees in Austin.
There were trees on the plane. No, man, they were like outside the window. And so.
Just fell in love with Austin. You had to move.
Yeah, I love Austin. So it's cool to have Southern California with me when I'm riding around.
That's nice of you to say, but I will say the 4 months that you didn't listen to us, that was our best. We were really great. I feel like we nailed it for those 4 months.
Yeah, dude. No, it was 4 years, man.
Yeah. I feel like we nailed it for those 4 years.
All right, Jacob, hang on for your download code for Marvel Avenger Age of Ultron, available on Blu-ray this Friday. Thank you for calling. This has been What's Good. What's Good? You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. That is Big Data.
Big Zero.
Nope, Big Data. Rodney, the band is called Big Data.
Yak. That's right. It is time for Rodney and the Rock. Hey, that's me. Rah, rah. And speaking of Susie Quattro, they're now showing Happy Days every Sunday on MeTV. Uh-huh. Here in L.A., it comes on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
But I'm waiting for the show when Susie Quattro appeared on Happy Days as Leather Tescadero.
Nope. Right.
When are they going to show that episode?
I don't know.
Nope.
That should be coming up soon, I hope.
Based on what? Is it coming up soon? Thank you, Roddy. Appreciate that update. It is 9:39 now. Ralph's got our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's happening?
What was Leather's relationship to Pinky? Does anybody remember?
I thought they were sisters.
Were they sisters?
Yeah.
Okay. Allie just did the Leather Tuscadero thigh slap point move.
I love that.
Hey.
With a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck.
Right?
Right, Rodney? Susie Quattro. Our Love is a Light. Wasn't that her big hit?
Stumbling in.
Yeah. Yeah. Taylor Swift's the worst.
Yes.
And Katy Perry.
You mispronounced the best.
Is the best.
Right. Katy Perry, best.
Right.
Right.
And Katy Perry is keeping on with the feud. God bless her. Katy Perry's not giving this up, and she is still bringing it.
Is it just sad at this point, though?
Nope.
Nope.
It's awesome.
Nope. Not as long as they keep piling on Tate off Switler. It's all good. Taylor, of course, recently feuded with Nicki Minaj, and Katie couldn't resist inserting herself into the drama, which was great. Then Taylor Swift fired back by stealing Left Shark. Remember when Left Shark came on stage?
Yeah. That's the burn.
Now Katie's getting revenge. You can track Katy Perry's favorites and follows on social media. And so I think she knows that. And with a carefully calculated move, Katy has logged into Instagram and followed someone calling themselves Slutty Taylor Swift on Instagram. Katy is now following Slutty Taylor Swift. No response yet from Taylor's camp yet. What the repercussions will be swift and merciless, but I'm assuming she will send her jackbooted thugs over to Katy Perry's house, and there'll be some sort of cleansing. By the way, this Taylor Swift, this awful, awful Taylor Swift, she is all for the fans, all for the people, all for the love, all for the caring, all for the joy.
Right.
Well, she has sent dozens of notices to Twitter, to Periscope, to other social media sites, demanding that they take down anything that is footage of her concerts.
Like cell phone? Anything that people put up?
Yep. Huh. Most particularly the live stream app Periscope, which fans have periscoped portions of her concert and then posted those.
What a terrible Periscope that would be.
Oh, can you imagine? Slamming them down. By the way, Taylor Swift, according to this article, appears to be the only musician sending takedown notices to Periscope and to Twitter. But it's all about the love and the giving and the caring and sweaters and cookies and kittens and chocolate milk and dryer lint. All things soft for her. Until it comes to business, then she'll cut your throat!
Periscope, Periscope.
Right?
First of all, I agree she's the best. But second of all, what a terrible game of whack-a-mole it is to try to stop people from posting cell phone videos from concerts. Every concert ever.
But look at all the money she's not making.
That's true.
Look at the poor girl. She barely makes a dollar busking at the terminals with her acoustic guitar singing songs of woe. How is she supposed to make a living if you go to her concert? If you spend $4,000 at her concert buying t-shirts and tickets and sodas, how is she supposed to make a living if you take a Periscope of her singing Dance With My Booty, whatever her latest song is? How can that be good for anyone?
I don't know, but I gotta look up Dance With My Booty. I'm unfamiliar with that song. It sounds like I might like it.
I want her to be hit by a meteorite. Is that so much to ask?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so sweet. So sweet. A meteorite just decapitated her.
Meteorite only takes off her head?
Just that.
She's looking up
into the night sky.
It's quite a strike.
That looks like it's close. And then she's like a chicken, just headless, just dancing like that Shake It Off video, just with no head. Until she collapses into a bloody puddle. That's all I want. Is that so much to ask?
I don't think that sounds...
Is there any part of you that ever feels bad about these things you say about a 25-year-old girl?
No!
Okay.
That's because you think she's good, and so Ralph must feel bad about saying bad things about someone who's good. Ralph doesn't think she's good.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
So he wouldn't feel bad saying bad things about bad people.
I just have feelings. I just have swift feelings.
Swift feelings. Okay.
All just based on my feelings.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah.
And Corey Taylor of Slipknot's got a sweet-ass gig. Well, not him exactly, but his voice. Corey will be the screaming voice of the villain on an upcoming episode of Doctor Who. He gets to be the screaming voice of an alien warlord.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
How did that happen?
I have no idea. But Corey said it was really hard for him to keep a secret because he's so excited about the gig. So in an upcoming episode, there's an alien warlord known as the Fisher King. And when you hear him scream, that's Corey Taylor of Slipknot. A little trivia for you. A little piece, something you can carry with.
I like that dude, by the way.
I do, too.
Corey Taylor. He's an interesting guy. We've had him on the show a couple times. He's a lot of fun.
And Trevor Noah, congratulations. His first Daily Show was last night. He's picking up some pretty good reviews for his performance. I didn't get a chance to see it. Anybody else? Anybody watch?
Nope. Recorded it. Looking forward to watching it today. I've heard great things about it, though.
We were talking to Dave, by the way, a minute ago, and Dave goes, I haven't even seen the Daily Show ever.
What the what?
What is wrong with him?
Ever. Not once. Ever. That was our expression.
Oh, he's stunning. He really is. Seen every episode of Glee.
Oh, yeah.
But he's never
multiple
seen
times.
The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Trevor, of course, comes from South Africa, and apparently at the opening of last night's show, he claimed, once again, a job Americans rejected is now being done by an immigrant. So he's happy to take over for John.
I don't know much about Mr. Noah, but I heard that he speaks 7 languages, Ralph.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, good. That's a good comment.
That's an impressive fact about a new face on television.
I saw the Australian version.
Yeah. Allie watches the Australian Daily Show.
Sure.
Much hipper. You know, it's not uncommon for many people outside of the United States to speak multiple languages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm never surprised when, like, I was just in Spain recently, and almost everyone I ran into spoke 2, 3, sometimes 4 languages.
Right.
7, though. You don't run across that all that often. It's very impressive.
I'm just trying English.
Seems
if
like
I could get
smart,
through English, I'd be happy.
I've never been to Spain.
I'll punch you right in the head.
Have you been to Oklahoma?
But I kind of like the music. Come on, Kevin. Don't punch
he's
me.
He's
you can't punch
him.
Me. Get Ow. HR. HR. I'm filing a complaint. Holy moly. Where's Don? It's Don. Get Don on the phone.
I warned you.
Can't hit a guy.
I have a note here that you're supposed to give away Bill Burr, and I'm not sure exactly. Are we giving away Bill Burr?
I'll take him.
Are we giving Bill away?
Really?
Apparently he's homeless now and needs a place to stay. So if you got room for Bill Burr in your home.
It's weird.
No, actually what I have here is tickets. Tickets to see Bill Burr at the Orpheum on New Year's Eve.
Yay!
December the 31st. New Year's Eve falls on December the 31st
this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There will be an early show and a late show, and the winner of these tickets gets their choice of shows. If you'd love to see Bill Burr, and why wouldn't you? One of the funniest comedians working today by far. Just makes me laugh uncontrollably every time I see
Easily
him.
Easily top 5.
And he's just also one of the nicest dudes in the world. So if you'd like to see him perform live at the Orpheum on New Year's Eve, why don't you give me a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. Callers numbers, I got 2 winners here. So how about callers 30 and 31? Callers 30 and 31, you will get tickets to see Bill Burr performing at the Orpheum on New Year's Eve. And if you don't win the tickets, tickets go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. You can pick up your tickets to see Bill because he is outstanding.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067.
I love you. I love you too, Doto. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ian McShane is 73 years old. Primus singer Les Claypool, 52 today. Zachary Levi, one of our favorite actors, is 35. And So You Think You Can Dance's Twitch. Stephen Boss celebrates 33 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Marcia Gay Harden on the program talking about Code Black.
Code Black.
New TV show that's coming along. We have Mama Muggs. Dodgers tonight, big game.
What's the magic number now? 2?
I think they could clinch tonight.
Tonight they could clinch.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk.
So that means it's 1 then.
She's the most positive person.
The magic number is 2.
Wait, what?
How can it? But what if they could?
Why does anyone
ever doubt
me?
It's a Dodgers win combined with the Giants loss.
Exactly. So they could clinch tonight. So that's 1. because they're playing
only
the Giants.
That's what I thought.
They're playing the Giants.
That's what
so
I thought.
Dodgers
that's why I said
would
one,
win,
but then
the
Dave
Giants
two,
would lose.
So if they're playing the Giants.
The magic number is two. Just go with it.
But it, they just, could clinch in the next
Dodgers
2 days.
If the Dodgers are playing the Giants.
Yes.
And it's between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's one game.
Yes. They could clinch against the Giants.
Dave, you're dumb. Also, tomorrow morning we have...
or I'm guessing that if they win two of the remaining, what, four games they have left? Isn't that what the magic number
left.
Is? Five?
Yeah, they play the Padres after this, no? Anyone?
Look, we've got some time to do a little research before we talk about the Mets.
We don't know anything about magic numbers, I know that much.
I thought I did until Dave schooled me, apparently.
And also tomorrow morning we have Ed Cunningham, who's going to tell us about Finders Keepers.
Oh.
Bizarre documentary.
Who's got the leg?
Finding a human leg.
In a hibachi.
In a hibachi, yes. So that's tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Beach.